Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Redding all year long and help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment. Despite being told by another shop, the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with her car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
What happened here? President Trump has an unfortunate habit. The unfortunate habit is he feels the need to sound off on every single topic ever. Now, if you were doing a podcast or if you were doing a radio show, or even if you were just a commenter on Daily Wire, this would all make perfect sense. The problem is he's the president of the United States. And when he sounds off, it sounds as though he has utilized his authority to effectuate the things that he is sounding off about. So the example that we must use is, of course, the case of Roger Stone. So CNN reported just a couple of days ago that all four federal prosecutors who took the case against longtime Donald Trump confidant Roger Stone to trial withdrew on Tuesday after top Justice Department officials undercut them and disavowed the government's recommended sentence against Stone. You'll remember that Roger Stone during the campaign was acting as sort of a go-between for various sources who claimed that they had access to WikiLeaks, and then he kept trying to funnel information to Trump, and it was pretty clear that Trump wasn't actively coordinating with Stone to actually go after Hillary Clinton's emails with WikiLeaks or anything like that. But Stone was he kept trying to act as this go-between. He kept trying to get information from WikiLeaks and then pass it on to Trump. And Trump would be like, that's nice, Roger. And then Roger Stone would go and tell witnesses to shut up. I mean, that's what the evidence seems to show. So he is convicted of lying to Congress, and he is convicted of a couple of other crimes. And he is given a recommended sentence by Justice Department lawyers of up to 9 years. And this was considered way too much by the Attorney General and by the top of the Department of Justice, because, after all, there have been a bunch of people who have lied to Congress in the recent past. There have been a lot of people who have lied to official government sources in the recent past, up to and including Andrew McCabe, who was fired from the FBI for lying to the FBI. And yet Roger Stone was the only one who was looking at a decade in prison. And so the generalized perception is that the reason that Roger Stone was being hit with this is specifically because he was an ally of President Trump, and specifically because there were members of the jury who were biased against Roger Stone and hated President Trump. So the real question here was, did these prosecutors recommend the correct sentence? Had they run that up the flagpole at the Department of Justice? Had it been approved by the top levels of the Department of Justice? And then had Trump stepped in to tell his own attorney general, I want you to lower the sentence? Okay, because there are two possibilities here. Possibility number one is that these DOJ lawyers who are on this case did not, in fact, run this thing up the flagpole. They just decided to go rogue because they wanted to humiliate Trump, they wanted to humiliate Barr, and they wanted to humiliate Stone. And they recommended a sentence that was way too long, specifically so that they could then set up a walkout when the AG decided to knock it down. That's possibility number one, and that's basically what's been suggested by the Trump administration. Possibility number two is the more nefarious possibility and troubling possibility, and that is that the president of the United States personally interfered after Barr had already greenlit the sentencing recommendation of Roger Stone. So CNN reported that the rapid-fire developments in the case, the prosecutor's withdrawal, came one by one through court filings over the course of 2 hours on Tuesday afternoon, which certainly, by the way, looks pretty coordinated, right? Generally, if you were going to have like a walkout like this, I would assume that's at least somewhat coordinated. It spilled tensions between Justice Department brass and career prosecutors out into the open, raising questions about the Justice Department's independence from political pressure. In a new filing on Tuesday, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington revised the sentencing recommendation to be far less than the 7 to 9 years recommended on Monday. It was not signed by any of the prosecutors who worked the case. Ultimately, the presiding judge will have the final say on Roger Stone's sentencing. Trump denied any involvement in the sentencing revision, but the turnaround drew howls from congressional Democrats. They, of course, suggested that the DOJ inspector general needed to investigate. Now, first of all, it is not criminal activity, even if Trump interfered with the DOJ, because the DOJ is supposed to have a certain level of independence, but they do work for the president of the United States. The president does have the right to interfere in policy this way. And if you don't like it, we have elections for that sort of thing. Obviously, we've had cases in the past in which the president has used his constitutional power in very questionable ways, most obviously with the Mark Rich pardon under Bill Clinton, which was sort of a similar situation, right? Political ally of President Clinton and then non-senator, but about to be Senator Hillary Clinton, pardoned in the last days of the Clinton administration. And there are a lot of howls of protest, calls about corruption and all the rest. Of the four prosecutors withdrew from the case, Aaron Zelensky, Jonathan Kravis, Adam Jed, and Mike Morando. Zelensky and Kravis also resigned from the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office. Zelensky did not resign from the Baltimore U.S. Attorney's Office, where he is based, which is kind of fascinating. Right? You would figure that if he is so anti the administration, he would resign from all of his federal offices. He did not do that. The mass withdrawal was set in motion on Monday when the prosecutors from the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, who are Justice Department employees, wrote in a filing that Stone should be sentenced 7 to 9 years in prison after he was convicted on 7 charges last year that came out of the Mueller investigation, including lying to Congress and witness tampering. And then Trump waited on Twitter overnight on Tuesday. He called it a horrible and very unfair situation. And then he tweeted out, "The real crimes are on the other side as nothing happens to them. Cannot allow this miscarriage of justice." By midday Tuesday, a senior Justice Department official said the original sentencing recommendation from the prosecutors, transmitted to a judge and signed off on by the office's top prosecutor, had never been communicated to leadership at the DOJ. So the official told CNN the department was shocked to see the sentencing recommendation. The department believes the recommendation is extreme and excessive and is grossly disproportionate to Stone's offenses. So the question was that coming courtesy of President Trump, or was that coming courtesy of Attorney General William Barr? Okay, in just a second, we're going to get to William Barr, and we're going to get to the reaction to all of this. We'll get to that momentarily. But first, let's talk about something awkward. I mean, we do that on the show all the time, but let's talk about something super awkward. I'm talking about erectile dysfunction. Now, that may be something you're suffering from, but you don't want to talk about it with anybody. The problem is, how are you going to get it solved if you never talk about it with a doctor? With Roman, it's easy to talk about all of this. With a real doctor who can prescribe real medication, it is simple, safe, totally discreet. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is really simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro, complete an online visit. ED can be tough to tackle, but now there is Roman. Complete an online visit today, connect with a doctor, take care of it. If you had a back problem, you wouldn't wait around on it just because you're embarrassed to talk about it. Now, you can do all this quickly and confidentially and easily. Just go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro, get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/Shapiro for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/Shapiro again. That's GetRoman.com/Shapiro. GetRoman.com/Shapiro. Okay, so there's some other questions with regard to the Roger Stone case. Most obviously, that the lead juror in the Roger Stone case ran for Congress as a Democrat in 2012 and spent the intervening several years criticizing Trump and, yes, tweeting about Roger Stone, which is a horrible job of jury vetting. I mean, that is really not a great job of jury vetting by the defense counsel in this particular case. With all of that said, the question is whether Trump himself interfered or whether Barr had made a decision and then Trump went public and was congratulating Barr on his decision, which, again, calls the sort of quasi-independence of the DOJ into question, makes it look like Barr is a political hack who's just doing the bidding of President Trump. That's, of course, exactly how the Democrats wished to make it look. So this is a giant, stupid stepping on a rake by the President of the United States. Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat of Virginia, he says, this is how democracies die, because Barr was instructed by President Trump to do X, Y, and Z. Again, number one, Trump does, in fact, have the legal power to do that. But is it a bad look? Yeah, it's definitely a bad look. Here is Tim Kaine.
The president believes he's above the law. This was a real concern after the impeachment was over last week, that the president would view acquittal as just a carte blanche. He can do anything that he wants. Anybody who was just trying to do their job and not fighting against the administration or being inappropriate, but were just raising questions, is now being mowed down with the sickle of this president who's out for revenge.
But do you think this is how democracies die?
Yes, I do. Unless people snap back and say that's not what we want.
Okay, so Tim Kaine, again, making the case that the Republicans have perverted the Justice Department. They've perverted it, as opposed to Eric Holder. Again, every Republican right now is screaming to the wind. Eric Holder, Obama's wingman, Fast and Furious, Loretta Lynch, Mueller investigation, Hillary Clinton, tarmac. Like, The politicization of the Justice Department, Janet Reno, like the politicization of the Justice Department has been ongoing. So for everybody to claim that Bill Barr is the first person to be hit with any sort of political pressure, obviously that's untrue. Nonetheless, you have Nancy Pelosi out there saying, this is clearly an abuse of power. It's an abuse of power. Except that probably it wasn't. Again, the solution with President Trump, honestly, the most common answer to President Trump doing a wrong thing or a thing that appears to be wrong is he did something dumb, but he didn't actually do the thing that Democrats are accusing him of. This has been true in every situation where Democrats have accused him of a thing. Right? Every situation where Democrats accuse him of a thing, it's Trump has a big mouth is the answer, not Trump did this nefarious thing. So Democrats always treat Trump. It's funny. Trump treats Trump as though he's playing 4D chess. Democrats treat Trump as though he's playing 4D chess. The truth is that Trump is almost never playing 4D chess. Right? Trump doesn't play chess. He plays checkers. Okay, and checkers is good enough. That is not a rip on his political skill set. And that is not a rip on his instincts. But to suggest that Trump is nefariously coordinating with the Russians, as opposed to what is obvious, he's going out in public and he is saying what he would say as a caller to this show, Donnie from Queens, it's perfectly obvious that's what Trump was doing. Right? During the campaign, when Trump would go out in public, Vladimir, if you got the emails, release them. Was that Trump coordinating with the Russians, or was that Trump being a big mouth? Which is what the man does. As I've suggested 1 million times on this program and counting, President Trump's epitaph is going to say, Donald Trump, 45th president of the United States, he said a lot of stuff. And everybody who follows Trump knows this. And if the media were honest, they would understand this too. And if Democrats were honest, they would understand this too. And they could criticize Trump for saying the stuff that he says. And they could say it's bad practice. They could say it's bad form. But instead, they immediately jump to the most conspiratorial version of what Trump is doing here, which is that Trump told William Barr, you need to step in the Roger Stone case, as opposed to William Barr, who is a career professional, did his job, and then Trump proceeded to step all over it, like your dog having rolled around in the mud and jumping on your fresh carpet. But here's Nancy Pelosi suggesting this is an abuse of power. It's not an abuse of power. It's just Trump mouthing off, because it's always Trump mouthing off. Like, how many times do I have to point out that when Trump mouths off, it rarely is backed by any sort of plan? Trump is the Joker of American politics, but like from The Dark Knight, there's no plan. There's no plan. He's a dog chasing a car. Sometimes he catches the car. There's no plan. But according to his biggest supporters, there's always a plan. According to his biggest detractors, there's always a plan. Okay, politics is not House of Cards, guys. Politics is Veep. Politics is a joke. Everybody who represents you is an idiot. And make this absolutely clear. The people you vote for are morons. They're the same morons you see in everyday life working at your office, except they decided to go into politics, which is even more moronic because they're not even producing anything useful for the world. This is true of everyone. It's true of virtually everyone in all aspects of life is an idiot. Always, always, you know, give people the credit of assuming they're dumb, not that they are nefarious or evil, because the vast majority of the time they are in fact dumb and not nefarious or evil. And even when they are nefarious or evil half the time, it's because they're dumb in the first place. Like, I think that Bernie Sanders is a dum-dum. I think he believes nefarious and or evil things. I think it's because he's a moron. I don't think that Bernie Sanders is a highly intelligent human being. There are people on the left who are highly intelligent and actually plan out what they're going to say, and they've thought through the theory, and then they come to exactly the wrong conclusions because they've been infused with the thought system that makes people worse. But the notion that, like, everybody in politics is sitting around and planning things, it's just not real. But this is what politicians have an interest in, suggesting the evil nefariousness of the opposite party. So here's Nancy Pelosi suggesting that President Trump was abusing power by tweeting crap, which is what he does on a daily basis. This is why the American people don't pay any attention to Nancy Pelosi when she says this stuff. It's why the American people didn't pay attention during impeachment, because the American people were like, all right, so like your suggestion is that Trump coordinated an entire nefarious scheme in order to get Joe Biden in Ukraine utilizing Rudy Giuliani. Alternatively, Trump is thin-skinned and says a lot of stuff and says to people things like, go get him, Rudy. Which sounds more plausible to you? Hey, here's Nancy Pelosi suggesting this is an abuse of power.
This is an abuse of power that the president is again trying to manipulate federal law enforcement to serve his political interests. And the president is what he is. He thinks he's above the law. He has no respect for the rule. But where are the Republicans to speak out on this blatant violation? The attorney general has stooped to such levels. He's lied to Congress, for which he will be in contempt. He has engaged in these activities. What a sad disappointment to our country.
Okay, so now, this brings us to Attorney General Barr finally speaking out. And it's about time. It's about damn time. Seriously. Because I'll be honest with you. I know a lot of people who work at the White House, obviously. Right? I mean, like everybody in conservative politics knows somebody who works at the White House. I know lots of people who work at the White House. And a couple of days ago on the podcast, I suggested that this looked really bad. And some of my friends at the White House are like, well, did you see the statement that a senior official at the DOJ gave CNN saying that the lower down DOJ officials did not run this up the flagpole before it was approved? They just kind of sort of went out there with the sentencing. And I said to some of my friends who worked at the White House, like, so why don't you just say that clearly? Why do you not send out Attorney General Barr to say very clearly that he was not manipulated by President Trump here and that Trump basically just decided to sound off like Donnie from Queens calling into the show about his opinion on this matter? Well, yesterday, that's exactly what Attorney General William Barr did. And good for him. Good for him. And by the way, if you want, this is a great litmus test. If you want to tell who in conservative circles actually is being honest with you, at least some of the time, and who in conservative circles is being entirely dishonest with you and is just there to act as a sycophantic press corps for the president, notice how they react to Barr. Okay, Barr is an excellent civil servant. He has done his job, in my opinion, as Attorney General of the United States. I don't believe the nefarious conspiracy theories about the perversion of William Barr or the perversion of Rod Rosenstein. I never believed that stuff. I never believed about the perversion of Robert Mueller. I didn't believe any of those things. I didn't like Robert Mueller's report. I thought that it was politically motivated, at least in how it was worded. I thought that he exceeded his mandate, but I never thought that Robert Mueller was the bad guy, a nefarious bad guy. And I don't think that William Barr is a nefarious bad guy. Everybody who 1 second ago was saying William Barr is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and now that he has crossed the president, they're like, traitor, traitor. Understand, those are people who do not have principles. Understand that those are people who are not honestly analyzing politics. They are just giving you the rah-rah Homer fanboy Trump case. Okay, even, and by the way, that case is not good for Trump. It's not good for Trump. Those fanboys are doing no service to Trump because all they are doing is incentivizing him to continue saying stupid things that undermine his own administration. Coming up, Bill Barr, the Attorney General, finally speaks out, and he says something perfectly true. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenny.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
With the new year, it's a great time to lose 10 pounds, paint the house, and finally clean out the garage.
Honey, why don't you start by getting the car serviced at Premier Oil Change? They're super fast and convenient. You get to wait in the car with free Wi-Fi and a free beverage. Plus, they have a rewards program where we can earn points that we can put towards free oil changes and services. You don't even have to make an appointment.
Wow, honey, that sounds a lot better than cleaning out the garage.
At Premier Oil Change, we strive for convenience. Our comprehensive 30-point certified service will ensure you with the peace of mind that your vehicle's in top operating condition. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that is service, and we're quick. Easy in, easy out. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Visit us on Facebook or Instagram. Premier Oil is located in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palo Cedro or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations, you get a free car wash. Visit us today. Home with a friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
About our people in the department, our men and women here, about cases pending in the department, and about judges before whom we have cases, make it impossible for me to do my job.
Of course, that's 100% true. 100% true. And even close allies of the president are coming out and saying, yes, Barr is correct. Barr is correct because you're undercutting your own legitimacy as president of the United States when you make it appear that William Barr is like Michael Cohen, that William Barr is like Roy Cohn, that he's your fixer. Right? That is a bad look for the president. And by the way, it's not even true. Barr isn't doing that. So Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, he does this too. He backs Barr. He says this is ridiculous. Like, of course Barr is correct, and of course Trump should stop tweeting about this crap. And everyone knows this. Okay, this is not a secret. Again, for all of those in the audience who are big Trump fans and think that it's MAGA, MAGA, underwater, upside down, hungry, hungry hippos whenever the president logs onto Twitter from the bathroom on top of the golden toilet, it's not true. Everyone in the White House knows this. This is not a secret. I don't know who these people are who treating President Trump's Twitter feed as though it is filled with communicat from the Kremlin, as though they're decoding Kremlinology. Okay, President Trump tweets stuff that he feels like tweeting. Sometimes that is a good idea. Sometimes that is a very bad idea. This is a case where it was a very bad idea. Here's Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell defending Bill Barr correctly. By the way, there's been no one who's gotten more of Donald Trump's agenda done than this guy right here, who is really responsible. Like, Trump nominates the judges. It's McConnell's job to ram them through. Right? President Trump has ideas about mitigating the effects of Obamacare. It's Mitch McConnell who makes that happen. Now, President Trump has an impeachment that goes to the Senate. It's Mitch McConnell who handles that thing. So there's been no more beneficial politician in D.C. for Trump than Mitch McConnell. Here's McConnell saying to Trump, dude, just stop, please stop.
The president made a great choice when he picked Bill Barr to be attorney general. I think the president should listen to his advice.
So you have a problem with the president's tweeting as well?
I think that if the attorney general says it's getting in the way of doing his job, maybe the president should listen to the attorney general.
So do you think the tweet about his opinion on the Roger Stone sentencing recommendations is inappropriate political interference?
Well, the attorney general has said it's making it difficult for him to do his job. I think the president ought to listen to the attorney general.
Of course, that's true. Of course, that's true. And politically speaking, the more that President Trump appears to be interfering in the process, the more the Democrats are going to be able to make the moral case, as false as it is, that Trump is, in fact, a complete departure from the institution of the presidency, that Trump is a tyrant, that Trump is corrupt. Like, why would Trump give material to the left like this? I don't understand. And he doesn't understand either, because he doesn't really think about what he's doing when he's on the Twitters. Right? All he would have to do is put one person between him and the enter button on Twitter. That's it. All he would have to do is have one person screen his tweets. Listen, we all know, if you're on Twitter, you know the draw of just being able to fire something off that gives you a momentary sense of thrill. And Trump obviously feels that when he's on Twitter, because that's how Twitter is built. It's literally built to do that. Okay, but that does not mean, as president, that this is the best way to do this. Now, meanwhile, you know, it's another bad look, is attacking your former chief of staff. Like, again, the best thing that the president can do when it comes to his chief of staff, when it comes to his attorney general, would be to just accept that they do what they do. He's the president of the United States. He doesn't need to respond to every single thing, particularly people he hired. It's not a great look when you hire somebody and then you dump all over them, which he has now done to like half of his cabinet. Coming up, President Trump didn't stop his attacks on his attorney general. He also went after his ex-chief of staff, John Kelly. Again, whether Kelly deserves it or not is irrelevant. The question is whether this is smart. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Seen the sign, you may have even driven by it today. Hi, I'm Rick Gendra, owner of Gendra 76 on the corner of Cypress and Bocelli. We've been a family-owned automotive care and repair business since 1979. And yes, we still pump your gas and clean your glass. Stop by anytime, let us show you what old-fashioned service is all about. And try our app to save up to 25 cents per gallon of quality 76 gas.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
As we remember the anniversary of the North State fires, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service would like to thank you. Because of you, NVCSS has served over 26,000 people in the North State. Because of you, children have returned to school. Our communities are rebuilding. Families have a new place to call home. People are healing. Northern Valley Catholic Social Service thanks you. Together, we will continue inspiring hope and transforming lives.
Every day, Doctors Without Borders teams confront hard facts in conflict and crisis zones. When others might look away, we step in to act. Because measles still kills more than 100,000 children every year. We're there to vaccinate over 1 million worldwide, including those affected by the current outbreak in Democratic Republic of Congo. Because half of all maternal deaths occur during delivery or within 24 hours. we've assisted more than 1.4 million births around the world, including care for new mothers in Afghanistan. Because some countries only have one or two mental health professionals, we offer counseling and clinical care, providing over 400,000 mental health consultations worldwide last year, including care for migrants and refugees on the dangerous journey north from Central America. The fact is, your acts of care and compassion make our life-saving work possible. Picture the impact we can have together. DoctorsWithoutBorders.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So President Trump, not content to undercut his attorney general, has also decided it would be a smart idea to go to war with his former chief of staff, John Kelly. So John Kelly, the former chief of staff, he had done an interview with The Atlantic, and he was described as defending Alexander Vindman for his testimony against Trump, saying he said that Vindman, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who was this guy who was working inside the White House and who reported the he sort of was involved with the whistleblower is probably the best available information, that he had reported the contents of the Ukraine call to this whistleblower who then reported it up the chain. Kelly said, we teach them don't follow any legal order, and if you've ever given one, you'll raise it to whoever gives it to you that this is an illegal order and then tell your boss. So Trump fired back on Twitter Thursday morning. He said, when I terminated John Kelly, which I couldn't do fast enough, he knew full well that he was way over his head. Being chief of staff just wasn't for him. He came in with a bang, went out with a whimper, but like so many exes, he missed the action and just can't keep his mouth shut, which he actually has a military and legal obligation to do. His incredible wife, Karen, who I have a lot of respect for, once pulled me aside and said strongly that John respects you greatly. When we are no longer here, he will only speak well of you. Wrong. Okay, now, is this a purposeful conversation that Trump is having here? Like, truly, is it purposeful? Doesn't he have surrogates who just say, like, John Kelly had a different perception of this issue than everybody else, impeachment is over, and Vindman got it wrong? Vindman had serious policy disagreements? But when you bring somebody in, and they are the person who is really sort of your main outlet to the world, this is true. When John Kelly was in the White House, he was reportedly the person who was deciding who would see Trump. And then Trump just craps all over him. Like, he did the same thing with Bolton. Like, you make enough enemies, and you're just waiting to be stabbed in the back. It's just bad, stupid policy. It really is. And then the White House wouldn't stop, so a White House spokesperson came out and contradicted John Kelly, said, I was in the room, she says, Stephanie Grisham, I was in the room with Trump when he backed Trump on things he now criticizes. So great, let's escalate the debate so we can turn this into a week-long story, as opposed to John Kelly sounds it off to The Atlantic, and no one cared. And the Trump administration needs to start understanding the so-called Streisand effect. The Streisand effect is named after Barbara Streisand, the famous singer. There's a famous story where Barbara Streisand's estate in Santa Barbara, I believe, it was photographed in a book of sort of long-range photographs of the coast. And she got mad because she didn't want there to be public photographs of her house. And no one had seen this photograph. It had been viewed like four times, but she was made aware of it. So she actually filed a lawsuit against the photographer. And immediately, that photo had now been viewed millions of times, so everybody knew what her house looked like. You think anybody was deeply worried about what John Kelly had to say months after he left the White House? Seriously? But now we're just going to elevate the issue and turn it into a week-long story? Like, they have a gift for turning gold into a sow's ear. It's just, like, what is the point of this? Here's Stephanie Grisham going after John Kelly.
I was disappointed, obviously, especially I saw some of the comments that he made, and I was in the room with him when he actually backed the president on many of the things that he's now saying, you know, weren't great. Talking about the media especially, I have heard John Kelly say some things about the media, so I thought it was a little disingenuous. It's interesting that he's starting to poke his head out and speak a little bit more, just like John Bolton, as we're getting close to an election, but I'll just end it with I was disappointed.
Again, there's no point to any of this, especially because the Democrats are imploding. They're in the midst of a slow-motion implosion that is delicious to watch. I've been saying, really, for years, not months, years, that all Trump has to do is point, like Donald Sutherland, at the end of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, at the Democrats, and he will win re-election. That's all he has to do. Just this. That's all he has to do. No one wants to vote for Bernie Sanders. It's like 25% of the population that likes Bernie Sanders. No one wants Bernie Sanders to be president. Joe Biden is collapsing, absolutely collapsing. I mean, he like the people in the death dream scene from Terminator 2, he is just blowing away with the wind. I mean, he is finished. The Democrats are falling apart. And instead we get stories about Attorney General Barr and John Kelly. Like, what is the point of this? What could possibly be the point? You've got the best economy in the last 50 years. Why is that not the only message coming out of the White House? I keep saying this stuff. And I feel like it's going in one ear and out the other for a lot of folks, especially because everyone agreed that this was real, that this was the real strategy after the State of the Union address. Everyone agreed that Trump wins 55% of the vote. Instead, we don't get that Trump for 2 weeks. We get Trump fighting with his own staff and or undercutting his own attorney general, who, by the way, is, again, attempting to defend him. Just silliness. Silliness on every level. Okay, in a second, we're going to get to the Democratic side of the race, where Democrats are now trying to define Bernie as a not-socialist. So after spending years allowing Bernie Sanders to grab the mantle of the party as the socialist candidate, they are trying to now claim that he is not a socialist and that he won't be a socialist as president. Good luck with this. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let's talk about how stupid you would be if you left your front door unlocked every night. Would this be a smart decision by you? Let's talk about how dumb you would be if you were on a crowded public street and you just decided, you know what, I'm going to leave my car window open. Would that be the smartest thing to do? Answer, no. You would have your cell phone stolen, presumably, or your keys, or your wallet. So why exactly would you leave some of the most private areas of your life unprotected? I'm talking about your internet activity. You use your credit card on there, for goodness sake. Got all your family pictures on there. And there are people who are seeking your data all the time. Well, this is why you need a VPN, and it's why I use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is the best VPN on the market. Why? Well, ExpressVPN does not log your data. Watch out for really cheap or free VPNs. They make money by selling your data to ad companies. ExpressVPN has developed a technology called Trusted Server. It makes it impossible for their servers to log any of your information. There's another quality worthwhile here, that is speed. Some VPNs slow down your computer dramatically, not ExpressVPN. Finally, ExpressVPN, really easy to use. You install it on your computer, one click, it is now running. So, protect yourself with the VPN I use and trust. Use my link, expressvpn.com/Ben today. Get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Again, expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more. So, Bernie Sanders, obviously the Democratic frontrunner, which means that President Trump has a pretty clear road right here. Right. President Trump is in pretty good shape with regard to his opponent, because even Democrats, like mainstream Democrats, are going, this guy's a communist. When I say mainstream Democrats, I mean James Carville, like the head of President Clinton's war room. So Bernie Sanders slammed Carville because a few days ago, Carville was on MSNBC and then he did an interview with Sean Illing over at Vox where he said, are you guys crazy? Why are you nominating a communist? So Bernie Sanders then slammed James Carville. And he fired back at James Carville. And here is what Bernie Sanders had to say on CNN.
James, in all due respect, is a political hack who said very terrible things when he was working for Clinton against Barack Obama. I think he said some of the same things. Look, we are taking on the establishment. This is no secret to anybody. We are taking on Trump, the Republican establishment, Carville, and the Democratic establishment.
Okay, so he's terrible, and he's a political hack. So Carville responds to Bernie in a perfectly appropriate way, right? You got to love James Carville. I mean, at least the dude is honest about who he is. I mean, really. So James Carville immediately tells Peter Hamby, he says, last night on CNN, Bernie called me a political hack. That's exactly who the F I am. I am a political hack. I'm not an ideologue. I'm not a purist. He thinks it's a pejorative. I kind of like it. At least I'm not a communist. The man, the man has a point. The man has a point. At least he is not a communist. By the way, that should be Trump 2020. Honest to God, that should be his slogan. Seriously, it should be Trump 20, not keep America great. It should be Trump 2020. At least I'm not a communist. I swear, the man won 60% of the vote. Because Bernie can't even run away from that label. Right? Bernie has been embracing that label his entire career. Trump 2020, at least I'm not a communist, is pretty fantastic. Okay? Suggested by James Carville right there. And I agree. By the way, mainstream players in the Democratic Party are realizing this. So the Nevada Culinary Union had basically issued a flyer saying that Bernie Sanders is the end of the world. Well, now they announced they would not endorse a candidate ahead of the state's Democratic presidential caucuses. They're considered an organizing behemoth in Democratic politics. They have 60,000 hotel and casino workers across Nevada under their tutelage. The decision came after months of aggressive courting from candidates eager to win support of the politically powerful group. They said, we're not going to endorse any political candidate, but we're committed to people voting. We're going to work really hard to defeat Trump. The decision came a day after the union said it had been viciously attacked by supporters of Bernie Sanders for a flyer the group issued this week that was critical of his proposed Medicare for All plan. The union strongly opposes Medicare for All. On Tuesday night, the union distributed a presidential scorecard to its members. The flyer said that Sanders would end culinary health care, which led to what union officials described as hundreds of harassing phone calls and Twitter attacks from alleged Sanders supporters, including personal threats to the heads of the union. So everybody started vying for their endorsement, but the culinary union was like, they're the worst. Like, that Sanders is the worst. Yes, we're endorsing no one, but also Bernie is absolutely the worst. And what you are starting to see now is even Bernie's own surrogates basically going out there and saying, he doesn't really mean it, guys. He doesn't really mean it. Like, he's not really a socialist. Like, we keep saying he's a socialist, but he's not really a socialist. Now, meanwhile, Bernie keeps claiming, and his surrogates are claiming at the same time, that he is going to do all of these major, ridiculous trillion-dollar plans. We talked about it yesterday, $100 trillion in new spending over the next 10 years, according to Brian Riedel of the Manhattan Institute. And he's going to do all that through budget reconciliation, which is insane. That he's going to do it with 51 votes and reconciliation? Yeah, sure. Sure he is. Axios reports, even with the expanding power of the presidency, Sanders would need Congress to approve the most ambitious ideas he's known for. That's unlikely to happen even under the strongest election scenarios for House and Senate Democrats in November. Says, Medicare for All, the Green New Deal, free college, and other Sanders proposals that excite the Democratic base would likely hit a logjam in the Senate, even with his plans to make expansive use of the power of budget rules to push his ideas through with a bare majority. Yeah, but now the Democrats are trying to soft sell Bernie's socialism. So after years of Bernie saying, what distinguishes me from the rest of the Democrats is that I am a socialist. I think capitalism is bad. And then, as I pointed out many times before, he's wanted to have it both ways. So on the one hand, he will say things like, free markets lead to very rich people and very poor people, and we need less free markets. And then you'll say, okay, so you're talking like actual communism now. You're talking state ownership of the means of production. I'm like, no, I mean Denmark and Norway. Like, well, but those are capitalist countries. Like, no, but I'm a socialist. I'm not a capitalist. So he's just been redefining the word socialist to mean whatever he wants it to mean for a while. If the idea is that you're a revolutionary, and then in the back room you're like, I'm not really a revolutionary. I'm basically like Hillary Clinton, just less hair. That's not quite the same pitch. So AOC, she argued that the realities of governing were an actual argument for someone like Sanders. She said the worst case scenario, we compromise deeply and we end up getting a public option. Is that a nightmare? I don't think so. So Bernie wants to outlaw private insurance, and AOC is basically saying, well, as long as we get some moderate change here. So she's now advocating for Pete Buttigieg's plan or Amy Klobuchar's plan or Joe Biden's plan, while Bernie is maintaining that those plans are insufficient and wrong, which means that someone is dishonest. Ed Morrissey over at Hot Air correctly says, for someone who's selling the revolution on the stump for Sanders, this sounds like a mighty big retreat by AOC on the central plank in his platform, almost certainly an unauthorized walk back. Sanders has other issues in his platform, but Medicare for All is central to his agenda. His economic policies don't work without it. Well, they don't work at all, actually, but especially not without a complete switch to socialized medicine. Furthermore, Sanders has had plenty of opportunities to offer compromises, like Buttigieg's Medicare for All who want it. Sanders has steadfastly refused to water down his vision by a single inch. Don't be so sure that Sanders agrees with Ocasio-Cortez. He can't get his agenda through Congress either. But the fact that AOC is walking it back, and it's not just AOC. Right, Paul Krugman is doing the same thing. So Krugman over at the New York Times, he says that Republicans are constantly calling things socialists that aren't socialists. But then he says, the thing is, Bernie Sanders isn't actually a socialist in any normal sense of the term. Oh, really? Oh, really? Well, welcome to the real world, Democrats who have been claiming that socialism is... Listen to this. He doesn't want to nationalize our major industries and replace markets with central planning. He has expressed admiration not for Venezuela, but for Denmark. He's basically what Europeans would call a social democrat. And social democracies like Denmark are, in fact, quite nice places to live with societies that are, if anything, freer than our own. Who has been saying this for years? Who's been saying this for years? And then we get, no, socialism really is Denmark and Norway. He's a socialist. Those are socialist countries. Socialism is the... Okay, so now that the election approaches, now you're going to acknowledge that Bernie isn't actually a socialist. Yeah, I know. Or are you just going to acknowledge that Bernie is in fact a socialist and he wants to nationalize things? Because here's the dirty little secret about Krugman. Bernie's split the baby the whole way. Bernie's never come out against nationalization. He has never come out against municipalizing industry. Right? He doesn't. Krugman, I think, is right here. He says, why does Sanders call himself a socialist? I say it's mainly about personal branding with a dash of glee at shocking the bourgeois. The self-indulgence did no harm as long as he was just a senator from a very liberal state. But if Sanders becomes the Democratic presidential nominee, his misleading self-description will be a gift to the Trump campaign. Okay, so basically now you have Sanders trapped between a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, socialism is deeply unpopular, but socialism is also the only branding separation between Bernie and Biden. Really? Like, the policies of Biden are not that far removed from the policies of Bernie. When people talk about a moderate lane in the Democratic Party, they're talking about the difference between Trotsky and Lenin. Okay, there is no actual moderate lane in the Democratic Party. Biden and Buttigieg are not far separated in policy from Bernie Sanders. It's just that Bernie wants it immediately, and Biden and Buttigieg say they want it gradually. Right, the difference between Elizabeth Warren's second plan, which was gradually go to Medicare for All, and her first plan, which was immediate Medicare for All, was 3 years. Biden, by the way, is not in favor. Biden says he's not in favor of Medicare for all. But as a first step, do you think Biden's in favor of a public option that morphs into Medicare for all? You bet your ass he is. Within 5 years, Biden will be stumping for Medicare for all. Within 6 months, if Bernie Sanders is the nominee. Okay, so the fact is that the separation between the Bernie wing of the party and the rest of the party is not obvious and never was obvious. So Bernie had to separate himself off by calling himself a socialist. But the problem is, if you do that, Americans don't like socialism because at least they're not communists. And so now he's having to revise that. And now he's having to say, oh, by the way, when I say socialism, I'm not actually a socialist. Oh, really? Okay. So Democrats are trapped with this crap nominee. Coming up, Joe Biden falling apart, which means that the old communists may be the only alternative. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Democratic Party may get stuck with the old commie simply because Joe Biden is falling apart. Joe Biden, who has high name recognition, is well-liked in the black community, has had, until the last 5 minutes, high approval ratings, has completely fallen apart in the middle of this race. James Clyburn, representative from South Carolina, he says, listen, if Biden loses South Carolina, this is basically his last stand. If Biden loses South Carolina, he's toast.
What happens if Joe Biden does not win South Carolina?
He would be in a very precarious situation. He needs to win South Carolina to demonstrate that his philosophy about the campaign is correct.
Okay, that is right. If Joe Biden loses South Carolina, he is done. But Biden is also correct when Biden says that Democrats don't want to campaign with a socialist. Biden's points about Sanders are exactly true.
I think the next president not only has to beat Trump, they have to bring along a Democratic Senate. Mm-hmm. And I think you look at, I went out into 24 states for 66 candidates. They're all the frontline candidates. They're in purple states and red states. We won back the House. Mm-hmm. We increased governorships. And best of my knowledge, I don't think anybody asked Bernie to come in and campaign there.
Yeah, this is exactly right. Bernie doesn't have it. So the Democrats are freaking out, and they should be freaking out. So who shall they turn to? Who shall they turn to? Well, as Biden fades, people are increasingly turning to Michael Bloomberg, which means that Biden is now turning on Michael Bloomberg. He says he wants to debate Michael Bloomberg. He wants to hit him on redlining and stop and frisk. There's only one problem. This is idiocy. The reason that this is idiocy is because, number one, Biden was the guy behind the 1994 criminal justice bill. So he was one of the people behind it, which is part of the same movement that was behind things like stop and frisk generally. And Biden's own history working with people who were in favor of actual segregation obviously has come back to bite him once in the campaign. But beyond that, what is the strategy here for Joe Biden? You take out Michael Bloomberg in which state? Because it's either make or break for Joe Biden in South Carolina. If Joe Biden loses South Carolina, he's out of the race. He's toast. If he loses South Carolina to Bernie Sanders, he's finished. And that means he has to drop out. Well, Bloomberg isn't technically even in the race yet. Bloomberg doesn't get into the race until the following week. Look at the calendar. Bloomberg is not on any ballots until after South Carolina. So if Biden were to fall in South Carolina and he simultaneously hurt Michael Bloomberg in this debate, how has that benefited the so-called moderate wing of the party that opposes Bernie Sanders? Instead, knock down the guy who's spending $300 million and rising in national polls and now, according to one poll, leading in Florida, Michael Bloomberg. So this is, I mean, what Joe Biden is doing by going after Michael Bloomberg is basically the same thing that Chris Christie did to Marco Rubio in New Hampshire in 2016. It's a murder-suicide. It's a political murder-suicide. He's trying to take out Michael Bloomberg in advance of presumably him losing South Carolina, followed by Michael Bloomberg being hit on all of the things that Joe Biden is bringing up. So here's Joe Biden for some reason believing that his chief rival to the nomination is Michael Bloomberg as opposed to Bernie Sanders, which, again, that's putting an awful lot of stock in South Carolina. Look, if Biden had any wherewithal at all, he would get out of the race. The chances that he's going to win, I think he's a heavy loser in South Carolina. I'd be shocked if he wins South Carolina. Here's Joe Biden going after Bloomberg nonetheless.
And I'm going to get a chance to debate Mayor Bloomberg. I'm going to get a chance to debate him on everything from redlining to stop and frisk to a whole range of other things.
Okay, so he's going to go after Bloomberg again. What is the strategy here? This is a big problem for the Democrats. If they don't mobilize their so-called moderate wing that doesn't really exist, if they don't mobilize that so-called moderate wing, then Bernie's going to take the nomination. So instead, you've got Joe Biden, who's strategically inept, going after Michael Bloomberg. Again, if he wants to win South Carolina, hitting Michael Bloomberg isn't going to help him one iota. Seriously, if his strategy is to win South Carolina, he needs to knock down Bernie. He doesn't need to knock down Bloomberg. Bloomberg isn't on the ballot in South Carolina. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders is dropping every piece of oppo he can on Michael Bloomberg. There's only one problem. Some of the oppo on Michael Bloomberg actually cuts in favor of his ability to win in the middle of the country. The fact that Michael Bloomberg was tough on crime is not a bad pitch to people who are living outside of New York City. By the way, it wasn't a bad pitch for people living inside New York City. The man was a three-term mayor of New York City. So this is all amazing to watch. This is why I say, President Trump, stop with the Twitter. Just keep retweeting James Carville. And again, take his suggestion. Trump 2020, at least I'm not a communist. Pretty fantastically good slogan. So there's a person named Dana Schwartz, an American journalist and author who was previously a correspondent at Entertainment Weekly. Yesterday, she was trending on Twitter. Why? Well, because she was attacking South Park. She tweeted out, "In retrospect, it seems impossible to overstate the cultural damage done by South Park, the show that portrayed earnestness as the only sin and taught that mockery is the ultimate inoculation against all criticism." Okay, couple notes. Okay, so I generally agree with the principle that mockery is not a substitute for actual values. But I'm not going to hear that from a bunch of people on the left who worshiped at the altar of Jon Stewart. Right? Jon Stewart spent years just making smug faces at cameras with a live audience. But the fact is that smugness and mockery have been the hallmark of the Comedy Central left for a very long time. And South Park was on Comedy Central too. The real problem that Dana Schwartz has is she doesn't like the people that South Park attacks. She doesn't like the fact that South Park attacks quote-unquote victims, according to the left. Now, what South Park has really done is it's focused in on the insufferable smugness of the left. So it's not smug about people on the left with values. It's smug about people on the left who are cynically attempting to use faux values in order to cram down a particular version of society. Right? The most famous sort of image from South Park along these lines is a bunch of San Francisco liberals smelling their own farts, right? That's sort of the South Park message. By the way, South Park, I never watched it as a kid because it was too lewd, rude, and crude for me. As an adult, I've watched some episodes. It's quite brilliant. I mean, for adults, it's really funny. The writing on it is hysterically funny because Matt Stone and Trey Parker are actually extremely talented people, much more talented than any of the comedy writers who ever worked for Jon Stewart. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. The Trump administration's plan for a work requirement to qualify for Medicaid is shot down by a federal appeals court in Washington.
The case involves a state of Arkansas work requirement for people to qualify for Medicaid. A three-judge panel in the Washington, D.C. appeals court ruled unanimously the principal objective of Medicaid is providing health care coverage and that work requirements for able-bodied people lack specific legal authorization. The decision is likely to affect the nearly 20 other states in various stages of trying to implement the requirements after the Trump administration invited them in 2017 to submit such proposals. Advocates for low-income people call the decision a solid win. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson says he's hoping the Supreme Court will review the case. Tim McGuire, Washington.
The defense team for Roger Stone's asking for a new trial.
The move by his lawyers comes a day after President Trump suggested that the forewoman in the case may be biased. Mr. Trump writing on Twitter earlier this week, quote, "Now it looks like the foreperson in the jury in the Roger Stone case has significant bias." Washington Post says the legal motion could delay Stone's February 20th sentencing date. Stone is charged with witness tampering and lying to Congress.
Correspondent Ken Lorman. Meanwhile, federal prosecutors have declined to charge former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, closing an investigation into whether he lied to federal officials about his involvement in a news media disclosure. China's reported 2,641 new virus cases, a major drop in the higher numbers in recent days since a broader diagnostic method was implemented. A notice from China's National Health Commission says the number of new deaths rose slightly to 143, bringing the total fatalities to 1,523. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Drowning in IRS debt? If you can't afford to pay your IRS debt due to economic hardship, you can now be free of IRS collection efforts by taking advantage of a special IRS tax hardship program. This program allows Americans who owe the IRS to resolve their delinquent tax debt once and for all. In some cases, maybe even reducing what you owe significantly. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Simply dial 800-741-3179. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back or have years of unfiled tax returns, help is standing by. Just call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-741-3179 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-741-3179 to see if you qualify. That's 800-741-3179.
The U.S. Justice Department has added new criminal charges against Chinese tech giant Huawei and several subsidiaries.
The department is accusing Huawei of a brazen scheme to steal trade secrets from competitors in America. The new indictment also alleges the company provided surveillance equipment to Iran that enabled the monitoring of protesters during 2009 anti-government demonstrations in Tehran. It also alleges that Huawei sought to conceal business that it was doing in North Korea despite economic sanctions there. The company disputes the allegations, calling them without merit.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. China's foreign ministry accused the U.S. government of economic bullying, or e-bullying. Fiat Chrysler says it's temporarily shutting down its plant in Serbia due to supplier issues linked to the new virus outbreak in China. Fiat Chrysler said that it has rescheduled planned downtime at the plant. News and analysis at townhall.com. Vice President Mike Pence, speaking at a dinner in his honor at the Citadel Military College, says President Trump finally has the impeachment behind him.
And, of course, last Wednesday, after 3 years of endless investigations and a partisan impeachment, the president was cleared on all charges by the United States Senate. Justice was served, our Constitution defended, and President Donald Trump was acquitted forever.
Mr. Pence mocks the Democratic Party's Iowa caucuses fiasco.
Friday, while the Democrats were still counting votes in Iowa, we were counting 225,000 new jobs in the month of January.
The United States and the Taliban have agreed to a temporary truce that, if successful, would open the way for a deal that would bring American troops home from Afghanistan and end 18 years of war. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Join the adventure in Turtle Bay's new exhibit, Treasure, open now until May 3rd. Learn about the history, people, and technology of treasure hunting and get involved with fun, hands-on activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
As we remember the anniversary of the North State fires, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service would like to thank you. Because of you, NVCSS has served over 26,000 people in the North State. Because of you, children have returned to school. Our communities are rebuilding. Families have a new place to call home. People are healing. Northern Valley Catholic Social Service thanks you. Together, we will continue inspiring hope and transforming lives.
Join the adventure in Turtle Bay's new exhibit, Treasure, open now until May 3rd. Learn about the history, people, and technology of treasure hunting and get involved with fun, hands-on activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
In the Democratic 2020 race. First, real shakeup in the Democratic 2020 race. Michael Avenatti has been convicted of extorting Nike. Remember Michael Avenatti? Remember that guy? His lawyer for Stormy Daniels? And everybody's like, maybe he'll take on Trump. I mean, he's a lawyer, and he's mean, and he says basta a lot. Remember that guy? And then Brian Stelter had him on. He was like, how would you defeat Trump in the primary? He's like, I would be a mean jerk. And Stelter was like, excellent, excellent. Well, now Michael Avenatti's going to jail. So I always thought that Michael Avenatti's candidacy would end up with somebody being frog-marched out in handcuffs. He promised it was going to be Trump. Turns out it was Michael Avenatti. According to the Daily Beast, embattled lawyer Michael Avenatti was convicted of extorting Nike and of defrauding his client in a bid to reap millions from the shoemaker in Manhattan federal court on Tuesday. It took jurors less than 2 days to deliver their guilty verdict against the California litigator who shot to fame for representing porn star Stormy Daniels in a civil case against President Trump. And who among us hasn't tried to extort Nike after representing a porn star? Avenatti's conviction marks a rapid fall from grace. He still faces two other pending criminal cases in New York and California in which he is charged with stealing money from several of his clients, including Daniels, and claims he swiped $300,000 from her book advance, which means that technically she was screwed by both Trump and Michael Avenatti. Since the fall of 2018, Avenatti's string of criminal cases and headline-grabbing arrests have sullied his reputation as a liberal hero with the chops to take on Trump. The jury found Avenatti guilty on all three counts, extortion, wire fraud, and transmission of interstate communications with intent to extort. During closing arguments on Tuesday, prosecutors played audio recordings of Avenatti's conversations with the Nike lawyer, where he said, quote, it didn't make sense for Nike to pay his client an exorbitant sum of money in light of his role in this. Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Podolsky said Avenatti wanted a way out of his $11 million in debts. And he saw that as a meal ticket named Gary Franklin. First of all, how do you even rack up $11 million in debt as just a personal injury attorney? How do you even do, like, who keeps extending you lines of credit? Who is like, oh, I see that you're $9 million in debt. I'm going to give you another $2 million of debt. $11 million of debt. My goodness, maybe he should have run the federal government. I mean, that's how we run our federal government, after all. Anyway, Podolsky said, this is about a good old-fashioned shakedown. The defendant may have come in a suit, may have used legal terms, but what he did was extortion. The prosecutor said Avenatti was sending a message to Nike, hire me or else. Federal prosecutors argued that Avenatti had betrayed his client, amateur basketball coach Gary Franklin, when he attempted to shake down Nike for $15 to $25 million during a series of meetings and phone calls in March 2019. Avenatti tried to extort the sports corporation with intel from Franklin, who told him that Nike executives made illegal payments to the families of high school basketball stars on Franklin's team, California Supreme in L.A. Using his sizable following on TV and Twitter as ammunition, Avenatti threatened to go public about these alleged payments and wreck Nike's reputation and profits ahead of a company earnings call in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. He offered to keep quiet about the alleged scandal in return for a $1.5 million payday for Franklin and a $25 million payday for himself to conduct an internal investigation for the corporation. So he goes to Nike and he's like, "So, you guys were paying off these high school basketball stars. That's illegal. I'd like you to give my client $1.5 million and hire me to do the internal investigation. That will only cost you $25 million. Otherwise, it would be a shame if your Nike house burned down, wouldn't it?" Avenatti said in a call with a Nike lawyer, quote, "I'm not effing around with this, and I'm not continuing to play games. A few million dollars doesn't move the needle for me." Those words made up an audio clip played by the prosecution more than once during summations on Tuesday. Prosecutors argued Avenatti broke the legal code of ethics by failing to even inform Franklin of what he was doing. Apparently, Franklin's friend, a consultant named Jeffrey Auerbach, sent to Avenatti a text after the lawyer tweeted about holding a press conference on Nike's alleged corruption. Auerbach wrote, "Michael, very upsetting to say the least. Please call me before going public in any way. Gary and I would like to discuss strategy with you," but Avenatti's lawyers said he was only fighting vigorously on behalf of his client. Franklin enlisted Avenatti to expose Nike's corruption after Nike declined to renew its $72,000 annual sponsorship of Franklin's basketball program. They said that the hard-charging tactics didn't amount to a crime. But apparently, the lawyer for Nike, I mean, this is all very entertaining stuff. The lawyer for Nike is a guy named Scott Wilson. Wilson said Avenatti threatened to hold a press conference and unleash a torrent of bad publicity on Nike if the company didn't pony up $25 million to conduct an internal probe into its alleged payments to youth players. "I wanted to not spook Avenatti. At no point did I intend to make a payment," Wilson added. Instead, he phoned the U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan soon after his initial huddle with Avenatti and Mark Garagos. Wilson warned Avenatti that his accusations, if made public, could ruin the careers of the young players on Franklin's team. And Avenatti replied, "I don't give an F about those kids." Good dude, Michael Avenatti. Cares a lot. Should have been president. The FBI then recorded Wilson's next meeting with Avenatti 2 days later. Avenatti claimed he'd walk away for $22.5 million. Wilson said, "I thought this is a crazy thing to be saying to me. We were in the twilight zone." Meanwhile, Auerbach testified that he suggested that the coach contact Avenatti because of his reputation as a tough negotiator in the Daniels legal drama. So it's Brian Stelter's fault that this even happened, apparently, because it's only because people saw Avenatti on TV. Like, you know who's a good lawyer? That Avenatti guy. Auerbach apparently told jurors that Avenatti was never authorized to threaten Nike with a media frenzy or demand a big payout for himself. Apparently, the entertainment executive said he was shocked when Avenatti posted a cryptic status on Twitter with a link to a college basketball corruption trial involving Adidas, followed by a tweet with his plans to disclose a major high school college basketball scandal perpetrated by Nike. Apparently, Franklin just wanted Avenatti to negotiate with Nike to reinstate the team's annual sponsorship. Avenatti's longtime office manager, Judy Regnier, testified that his firm had been evicted from its $50,000 a month office space in Newport Beach, causing her and other employees to work from their homes. Avenatti told her he was hatching a plan to clear the debt and start a new firm. Instead, he will be going to jail for a long time. So much for your Democratic 2024. Now, well, good news. He has a shot at 2024. I think so, don't you? Why not? Why not? Okay, in just a second, we're going to get to another legal situation, this one involving Andrew McCabe. We'll get to that in just one moment. First, let's talk about the look of your teeth. So, you need to straighten out your teeth again. Okay, it's been a while, and you didn't wear the retainers. I know you didn't. I didn't. That's why I'm using Candid. So, here's how it works. Candid sends you instructions. They send you a box. They send you all the materials. You take a mold of your teeth at home by yourself. You send it back to them. They have an orthodontist who will actually look at all of this and help create a plan just for you. Unlike braces, Candid's clear aligners are comfortable, removable, totally invisible. You can transform your smile without anybody noticing a thing. Plus, you never have to set foot in a doctor's office or a waiting room. Your treatment is prescribed and monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist. And unlike other companies, Candid only works with orthodontists, never general dentists. With other remote clear aligner options, you may never hear from a doctor at all as you go through treatment. That means your treatment will be designed by an expert in tooth movement. Even I can have a great smile. And let me tell you, that's work. All you have to do to get a great smile, however, is go over to CandidCO.com/Ben. That's CandidCO.com/Ben. And when you use promo code Ben, you get $75 off. It's CandidCo.com/Ben. Again, CandidCo.com/Ben. Use code Ben for a $75 off discount. CandidCo.com/Ben. And remember to use promo code Ben. Okay, another big news at this hour. The Justice Department has announced it will not be charging former acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe with lying to investigators about a media disclosure, according to people familiar with the matter and Andy McCabe's legal team. This is unlikely to make President Trump feel better about anything. Trump has suggested that Roger Stone's conviction is unfair because people like Andrew McCabe are not being prosecuted. The department revealed the decision to McCabe's team on Friday. It was unclear whether there were other plans to make it public. The move was said to infuriate President Trump, who has raged publicly and privately in recent months that McCabe and others he considers political enemies should be charged with crimes. Lest we forget, the reason that Andrew McCabe was fired from his job and lost his pension is for lying to investigators. That's a crime. Is it a crime that would result in, like, a lengthy prison sentence? Probably not. Also worth noting, Andy McCabe, okay, what he was lying about was he had reported to the media, I think it went to the Washington Post, and he had suggested that Hillary Clinton was still under investigation. So his actual leak benefited Trump, for those who don't recall what this whole thing was about. The decision could amplify the tension between Trump and the DOJ, especially Attorney General William Barr. A White House official said Trump was not given a heads up and was upset, and White House lawyers moved to calm the president. The official said Trump believes very strongly that action could be taken. By the way, if you ask Trump what exactly McCabe lied about, I really doubt that Trump could give you an explanation as to what exactly the McCabe case is about. He would just know that he's a liar. He wouldn't know what he lied about. Apparently, the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office called and informed them that the case had been closed. McCabe authorized the FBI to begin investigating Trump personally for possible obstruction of justice in connection with the probe of whether the Trump campaign coordinated with Russia to influence the 2016 election, which is why Trump is mad at him. But the veteran law enforcement official later became the focus of a grand jury probe over allegations from the Justice Department Inspector General that he lied to investigators exploring a media disclosure. It's unclear what exactly happened in the case. Justice Department officials authorized prosecutors to seek an indictment of McCabe last year. In September, a grand jury that had been hearing evidence was summoned back after a months-long hiatus to consider the case. But the day came and went with no public charges being filed. McCabe's legal team sought to press the DOJ for a status update. They were told nothing. This is all complicated because Trump had publicly attacked McCabe also, because that put the DOJ in a position of looking like it was doing Trump's dirty work. Again, if Trump had just been quiet, it would have been a lot easier for the AG's office to do what they need to do, whether that meant prosecuting or not prosecuting. McCabe took over as chief of the FBI after Trump fired James Comey in May 2017. In a lawsuit over his firing from the Bureau, McCabe asserted he'd been ousted illegally, which of course is not true. He was ousted for a very good reason, and the Inspector General of the FBI found that McCabe had lied to investigators. McCabe authorized two FBI officials to speak for a Wall Street Journal report detailing tension inside the FBI and DOJ over the Clinton email case and a separate investigation of the Clinton Family Foundation, but then he denied having done so when FBI officials tried to determine who might have spoken to the media. The Inspector General accused McCabe of lying at least four times, three of them under oath, and even misleading Comey, his boss at the time. So Trump has been mad about that. He says, well, Roger Stone lied to investigators also and lied to Congress, and you're trying to give him a nine-year sentence. And Andy McCabe lied to investigators to cover his own butt. Okay, well, I will say that the underlying crime, which is leaking to the media about an investigation, doesn't seem quite as bad as the underlying crime of lying to the FBI about an ongoing investigation into Russian interference into an American election. But suffice it to say that this is not going to make Trump feel any better. Plus, it's not going to make Trump feel any better that former National Security Council staffer Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman won't be investigated for violating military protocols over his testimony against President Trump. That's announced by the Army. They announced that on Friday. Trump had been suggesting that maybe there would be a court-martial for Vindman. That, of course, did not happen. Politico reported that Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy announced at an event at the National Press Club that Vindman would face no disciplinary action at an event, even downplayed Vindman's removal from the NSC, which, of course, would be the smart thing to do. No, this is not... Politics does not generally work like the end of the Godfather, right, where we just... All family business will be settled today. Let the Army prosecute Vindman. Let McCabe go to jail. Like, that's not usually how this stuff works. And last I checked, we were all mad. Like, we were kind of angry about the fact that it appears that the DOJ was politicized during the actual Trump-Russia investigation. So why would we be less mad if it was politicized now? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Bottom line is that on a legal front, not a great day for President Trump. Does it really hurt him? No, which is why he should just be quiet about it. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. Like, who cares if Inman gets prosecuted? He shouldn't be prosecuted, frankly. Who cares if McCabe gets prosecuted? Like, would that make Trump feel, like, tons better if McCabe got prosecuted? Maybe. But does it mean, like, the end of the world if he isn't? Don't really see that it does. Okay, what Trump should do is move on to the fact that we have a booming economy and he's an incumbent president who should easily win re-election. Okay, coming up, we are going to get into HGTV now pushing polyamory, which is very exciting stuff. We'll get into that in just Home and Garden Network, getting spicy over there. We'll get into that in just a moment. First, let us talk about making your business more efficient. One of the easy ways to get your business to be more efficient is to make sure that you have all the data about your own business in front of you at all times. How can you achieve this? All you have to do is go over to NetSuite. NetSuite by Oracle gives you the tools you need to accelerate your growth. With NetSuite, you get a full picture of your business, finance, inventory, HR, customers, and more. It's everything you need to grow, all in one place, directly from your phone or computer. NetSuite will give you the visibility and control you need to make the right decisions and grow with confidence. That's why NetSuite customers grow faster than the S&P 500. NetSuite is the world's number one cloud business system. It's trusted by more than 19,000 companies. It is the last system you will ever need to handle your business. NetSuite, business grows here. Schedule your free product tour right this very instant. Receive your free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits, at netsuite.com/Ben. That is N-E-T-S-U-I-T-E, netsuite.com/Ben. netsuite.com/Ben. Once more, that is netsuite.com/Ben. Get all the data about your business. It's the only responsible way to handle your business. Check out netsuite.com/Ben and integrate all your data. Make sure you have a handle on the inner workings of your own business and make it more efficient. netsuite.com/Ben. Use that slash Ben and get your free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits. Already coming up, HGTV is pushing polyamory. I don't know what to tell you. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, if you ever thought that maybe popular culture is one of the reasons why Trump is president, popular culture is one of the reasons why Trump is president. Every area of American life has to be perverted for politics. Every single one. Your latest example, HGTV, is now featuring its first ever thruple on House Hunters, because what you wanted was propaganda about how a married couple who brought in a woman to live with them, and yes, they have kids. No one gives a crap about the kids, by the way. In these situations, no one gives two damns about the kids. Seriously. Because this woman who's being brought in is not biologically related to the kids. She doesn't know the kids. She's being brought in as a late addition to this couple's personal life. But nobody ever thinks, like, would it be good for the kids to just bring this stranger into our house and have this person live with our children? Like, would that be a great idea, really? Like, nobody ever thinks of that. But this is apparently a moment of glory for House Hunters. It's representation, guys, representation of diverse sexual orientations, according to People.com. The episode is titled Three's Not a Crowd in Colorado Springs. The family came to armed with a list of must-haves for their new residence, including a three-car garage and a master bathroom that will accommodate three people. As you will see from this clip, it is pretty obvious that the master bathroom is only meant to accommodate two people. But in any case, here is the here's a little bit of the clip from People talking about this dumb episode.
All right, HGTV made history on Wednesday by featuring its first ever thruple. In case you didn't know, that's three people in a polyamorous romantic relationship. They were on the very popular show House Hunters. Take a look.
Texans Brian, Lori, and Jelly do realize there's nothing conventional about them.
We're a thruple. It's a relationship that's three people, not just two.
There you go. The episode titled Three's Not a Crowd in Colorado Springs, and it follows Brian, Lori.
What I'm about to describe to you is absolutely 100% the truth. So the man and the woman are married. They brought in this other lady. They met her at a bar, which, first of all, when you go to a bar and you meet just a rando, and then you're like, what if we brought you in and both married you? There's something wrong with your relationship already. I'm just going to put it out there that your relationship ain't going great. If you're hitting up the bar so you can bring other people into your relationship, as a person who's been married for nearly 12 years, I'm going to say, you got a problem. You got a problem. Okay, but this picture, what it shows, is the wife, who looks pretty excited to be on House Hunters, and the female, the other female, they're not formally married, obviously. That's not legal yet. It will be soon enough, because once you have devalued the institution of marriage from man and a woman getting together to bear and rear children to any number of people of any sex and orientation who love each other, then why not? Why? I mean, seriously, like, there's no logical barrier to this, obviously. In any case, the two ladies look pretty happy about the situation, and old Brian over here looks like he is beginning to realize, it is now dawning upon him, that his wife is a lesbian, right? I mean, that's actually what's happening in these clips. It's beginning to dawn on Brian that what started off as a sexy, sexy idea has now resulted in him in the sidecar, right? Well, it turns out there's just two seats in that front seat of the car, and old Brian's going to be riding in the trunk, and that's dawning on Brian as this episode goes on. But you got to love that the media are now pushing the idea that all forms of relationship are equivalent, wonderfully moral, decent. It's not just HGTV, by the way. And if you mention this, it's because you're intolerant. Intolerant. Now, listen, I don't want any of this regulated. I don't care. I mean, I don't care in the sense that I don't think the government should get involved. Whatever floats your boat on a governmental level. However, in terms of what is best for the raising of children, what is best for sexual values, I'm not going to pretend that monogamous relationships are just equivalent and on every moral level with polyamorous ones, and that the dynamics are exactly the same. But the New York Times is actually pushing this sort of stuff, right? The New York Times has a piece. It came out on Sunday. It was called How to Make Your Marriage Gayer. Same-sex spouses feel more satisfied with their partners than heterosexual ones. What's the secret? Well, first of all, I'm gonna like just throw a little bit of doubt on the reality of on the idea of this. First of all, the lifetime prevalence of so-called IPV, which represents a form of violence. It's intimate partner violence. Intimate partner violence in LGB couples is significantly higher than it is in heterosexual ones. Like, people don't ever want to talk about this stuff, but there are actual studies that have been done on this. For example, there is a study from the Department of Psychology, University of Torino, Turin, Italy. It came out in August of 2018. And what this study found is that lifetime prevalence of intimate partner violence, 61.1% of bisexual women, 43.8% of lesbian women, 37.3% of bisexual men, and 26% of homosexual men experienced intimate partner violence during their lifetime. That is compared to 35% of heterosexual women, so lower than lesbian women by a lot and from bisexual women by a lot. Okay, and 29% of heterosexual men experienced IPV, which is a little bit higher than homosexual men, but way lower than bisexual men. And when you look at episodes of severe violence, prevalence is significantly higher for both bisexuals and gay people than it is for heterosexual adults. Like, significantly higher. So I doubt some of the premises of this study. It is also true that one of the reasons that they say that in this article, gay couples are happier is because they are more open. Well, maybe the reason that they are happier with their partners is because they're more open because you are with another person who also would like to be open. Men and women are different, as it turns out. Gay male couples are more open sexually than heterosexual couples, for example. All right, we're going to take your calls at 855-236-3228. That's 855-236-3228. Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Redding. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment, despite being told by another shop the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with her car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all.
221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Does your child have dreams? Some babies are born with SCID, a serious defect of the immune system. Fortunately, my daughter Lily was screened, diagnosed, treated, and cured. With newborn screening, Lily and every child can have a lifetime of dreams.
All newborns need to be screened for SCID. A simple test may save your baby's life. Jeffrey Modell Foundation, helping children reach for their dreams. To learn more, talk to your doctor or visit our website at info4pi.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. It's a Friday, and we're taking your calls and your emails in the mailbag. Our number here, 855-236-3228. That's 855-236-3228. If you're a subscriber over at DailyWire.com, then you may have a chance at getting your message in our mailbag as well. We'll start with one from the mailbag. Thomas says, Ben, with Warren and Biden tanking, who do you think is the media's candidate? It seems like they are trying to sink Bloomberg before it can gather momentum, and seemingly everyone is afraid of Bernie. Well, it seems like they kind of like Buttigieg. Like, if they really thought that Buttigieg was a threat for the nomination, they'd be spending more time on Buttigieg. Should Buttigieg overperform in Nevada, I would assume that Buttigieg would then become sort of the media darling. Right now, they are wary of everybody, right? They're sick of Biden. You're right. They're sick of Biden. They don't like Bernie all that much because they're afraid of Bernie. Although, it depends on the outlet, right? Huffington Post is really pushing Bernie super hard. Meanwhile, over at the Daily Beast, they're not really pushing him so hard. Over at Vox, they kind of like Buttigieg. So, it depends on the outlet you're talking about, but I think that if Buttigieg were to do real well in Nevada, then he would become sort of the media favorite, at least for the moment. Let's take some of your calls at 855-236-3228. Darren in Minneapolis, Minnesota, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Darren.
Hey, Ben, I've been a fan for a long time. Hope you're having a better week than I am. Just got out of the hospital.
Oh, yeah, you doing okay? You feeling a little better?
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit better. First time I've ever fainted from pain.
Ooh,
but anyways, that's not what I called to talk to you about. I'd love someday, I have so many questions, I'd love someday to sit across a dinner table and talk with you about politics. Probably won't happen. But I called today because my wife insisted that I call you and ask you if anybody has ever told you that you look like a young Jeff Gordon.
Yeah, I have heard that, actually. I have heard the Jeff Gordon, for people who don't know, the NASCAR driver Jeff Gordon. Yeah, I have heard that before. I've also gotten dorky Daniel Radcliffe, among other sort of lookalikes. there's sort of a weird variety of people that I'm. I've gotten Children of the Corn before, so I've gotten a number of different comparisons. I tell your wife I'm flattered I think Jeff Gordon's a pretty good looking guy, and so I will let my wife know that. I really appreciate it, Darren.
Will do. Thank you so
and
much
feel
for
better,
taking
dude.
My call.
Feel better.
I've been
really,
a fan for a long time.
Well, again, feel better and try to keep healthy out there. Stay away from the coronavirus. Mark in North Carolina, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Mark.
Hey, what's going on, Ben? How you doing today?
Hey, doing pretty well. Go for it, sir.
I wanted to ask, with what Virginia is attempting to pass through their legislature, I know it passed on the one side, and now they're trying to get it through where whatever happens with the popular vote of the country, that's where they would send their electoral votes. Is that something that even if they pass on both sides of the state house, that they can actually push through for the 2020 election with it being, you know, a state affair affecting what would be a national, you know, federal level? Is
yes.
that something that can actually happen?
They can. The electors are chosen on the state level. So it is not a federal requirement that electors be chosen in any particular way. In fact, theoretically, you could have a state that through its electoral vote decided to do it proportionally, I believe. So I don't think there are specific constitutional provisions on point as to what a state itself can do. The assumption was always that a state was going to not make it proportional because then that actually waters down its impact, right? I mean, if you were to be Virginia and let's say
that
somebody won 50 to 45, your impact basically becomes a net of maybe one electoral vote or something. So people sort of assumed that states would not do this specifically because basically Virginia is now saying that it doesn't matter in the presidential election. Right.
We don't care what our people in Virginia think. We're just going to go with the vast majority, hence California, New York, you know, the populace, and then got to love the whole voter ID. Oh, well, we don't want to check IDs.
But yeah, I mean, it's bewildering.
It is what it is.
It is the state of Virginia effectively writing itself out of the Electoral College because, again, there are only a couple scenarios here. One is that Virginia votes the same way as the Electoral College, in which case there is no problem, right? If they vote, or rather, Virginia votes the same way as the popular vote, in which case there really is no
right.
generalized problem. Or Virginia votes differently than the popular vote, in which case Virginia is now overriding the will of its own voters in order to help out whoever won the popular vote, which is a very weird thing to do and defeats the purpose of the Electoral College generally. I guess it's a backwards way of blue states trying to basically make the Electoral College useless. I guess they're basically saying we don't want the Electoral College to rule anymore. But that's one of the reasons the founders never thought it would happen. They figured that states were going to be pretty zealous about their own interests, one of the areas in which the founders vastly underestimated the capacity of national parties to override the interests of state parties. Mark, really appreciate your call. Hey, Blake in Mississippi, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Blake.
Hey, Ben. I'm much like you. I was very anti-Trump. I just thought he was a fool. I thought he could never win. And if he would have taken my advice, he would have lost. And I think if he would have taken your advice, he would have lost. So how can you give him advice now on what he definitely should and should not be doing?
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, I refuse to suggest that if he had taken my advice, he would have lost. I don't think that's right. I think that we could have done without some of the more outrageous commentary and kept with the good commentary, right? My model all through the election was good
that's
Trump,
fair.
Bad Trump. So more good Trump and less bad Trump probably would have helped him. As far as giving Trump advice, you know, like, let's put it this way. If he has better instincts than I do, then so be it. But I think that all the people around him are urging him basically the same thing that I am. And frankly, I think that any objective observer can see when he's damaging himself, including people who are very close to President Trump. You know, you're not the best judge in your own case always. Is Trump going to listen to me? No. I mean, Trump doesn't listen to anybody. But that's his prerogative. And I get it. I mean, the man is in excess of 70 years old. He's done nothing but win. And so why would he listen to anybody who is not Donald Trump? But I will say this. The when it comes to the presidency, what got you there is not necessarily what keeps you there. And this is why you've seen presidents really shift tack. I mean, to take the most obvious example, Bill Clinton, right? Bill Clinton enters office with a plurality but not a majority of the vote. And he enters office on the back of, we're basically going to do Hillary Care, which is Obamacare. And then we are going to pass vast tax increases. And immediately he becomes wildly unpopular. And so he shifts tactics and starts endorsing half of the Republican plan. So in 1996, he skunks Bob Dole. I mean, understanding kind of the way that the tea leaves are moving, understanding, you know, that politics is variable and that you have to shift as times change is one of the elements of being a good politician. Yes, you want to be constant in your principles, but you also want to know when you're making a mistake and shut up. And the thing about Blake, the thing for President Trump that's so irritating just as a political observer is that if you got the good Trump without the bad Trump, the guy would be unstoppable. Right? I mean, I think we all felt in the aftermath of the State of the Union address, like, if we got this all the time, dude wins 55-60% of the vote, sweeps 46 states. Like, we're talking about him as a great president of all time if you got Trump just State of the Union address version.
If I may, the media, though, like, they are so focused on the controversy that I think that bad is the new good. Like, if you have a terrible performance, people will talk about it for a week. If you have a great performance, nobody might even talk about it. So Trump just dominates. It dominates the media, and they can't get away from him.
So I think that the media coverage of President Trump is going to happen no matter what. He is a fascinating character, and it is a fascinating time. I do think that, as I've said before, if the election is a referendum on Trump personally, he's got a problem. If the referendum is on the economy, he wins. If the referendum is on Bernie Sanders, he wins. So the referendum needs to be on anything but him personally. So anything he can do to sort of minimize that which people find off-putting is going to be helpful to him. He is the incumbent president, obviously. I really appreciate the call, Blake. We're going to take more of your calls in just 1 second. But first, let us talk about why you should protect yourself in 2020. Okay, the reality is that digital security is just as important as every other type of security with which you are dealing. Okay, if you're dealing with digital security problems, you need a VPN, and you need a VPN now. You shouldn't leave your front door unlocked or your car unlocked. You wouldn't leave your property unprotected. Well, why exactly would you leave your internet activity unprotected? Go check out ExpressVPN. It's the best VPN on the market. Why? Well, first, ExpressVPN will not log your data. Watch out for those really cheap or free VPNs. They make money by selling your data to ad companies. ExpressVPN has developed its own technology called Trusted Server. It makes it impossible for their servers to log any of your information. Another quality is speed. Many of these VPNs will actually slow your internet connection, make it difficult for you to get your work done. Not ExpressVPN. And finally, ExpressVPN, super easy to set up. You put it on your computer, click one button, and you're good to go. Protect yourself with the same VPN I trust and use. And if it's good enough for me, it is certainly good enough for everyone else. Use my link, expressvpn.com/Ben today. Get an extra 3 months for free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more. expressvpn.com/Ben. We're taking your phone calls at 855-236-3228. Jason in Idaho, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Jason.
Hi, Ben. It's nice to be on the show. I'm a big fan. My question is about Bernie Sanders and the media treating him, I think, pretty unfairly lately. He almost won Iowa. He did win New Hampshire. And yet most mainstream media, like, refuses to acknowledge it. I saw a headline the other day that talked about Buttigieg and Warren and Klobuchar's performance, and Bernie Sanders was not mentioned covering New Hampshire. So I want to know if you think the media, like, legitimately forgets about Bernie Sanders, if you think they, like, are trying to, you know, intentionally mess him up in the election. Like, why do you think they just refuse to acknowledge that he's doing at least as well as everybody thought?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that the media's take on Bernie is obviously biased against Bernie. Obviously. I think it's hilarious that they weren't biased against Bernie for the 40 years when he was being an open communist, but now that he's actually up for winning the nomination, they're suddenly like, oh, wait a second. What if we just pretend he's not the front runner? I talked about this yesterday with regard to MSNBC's Chuck Todd, who was literally saying, I'm not sure why he's the front runner. Well, he's the front runner because he won the most votes in Iowa and he won the most votes in New Hampshire. And presumably he's going to win the most votes in Nevada. And right now, he's probably going to win South Carolina, too. So, like, yes, he is the front runner. The media's refusal to acknowledge Bernie is wish casting. They're just attempting to wish into existence a competitor to Bernie Sanders who stops him from taking the nomination. At this point, I have a hard time seeing who that is. Even if Bernie Sanders were to win a plurality of the delegates and not a majority, which is a significant possibility. Remember, the Democrats, unlike the Republicans, do not have winner-take-all primaries. So if Bernie continues to win 35% of the vote all the way through, he ends up with a plurality of delegates, not a majority of delegates. But if he's the one who goes into the convention with the most delegates, they're going to give him the nomination. So I do think, just as the media are biased against Republicans, the media have suddenly decided that they are biased against Bernie Sanders, at least insofar as trying to kick the nomination to somebody more palatable, like to them, a Pete Buttigieg or an Amy Klobuchar. Although I think that if it comes down to Sanders versus Bloomberg, I'll be curious to see if the media actually continues with its negative coverage of Bernie in quite the same way, Jason.
It just seems to me that since Donald Trump did so well and essentially got his way to the presidency through the Rust Belt using his, you know, more populist stances, it seems to me like they would want to support somebody who on the left would be a populist and try and, I guess, recreate Donald Trump's path.
Well, I think the problem they have is that Bernie is so far to the left. He's so radical that they are correctly fearful that Bernie will do much more poorly in a general election than he's been doing in the primary so far. Again, and by the way, I don't want to be completely unfair to the media. It is a big story that Bernie's vote share dropped from 60% in 2016 in New Hampshire down to 26%, meaning that the party is very split right now. That does not mean that he's not the front runner, however. He is definitely the front runner. Jason, really appreciate the call. All righty, coming up, we're taking more of your calls at 855-236-3228. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
This is Ground Game with me, Julie Pace, AP's Washington Bureau Chief. Is the takeaway really here from national polls at this stage of the race that it is mostly just name recognition?
Certainly being on the airwaves in all of these states probably has a little bit of an influence.
Original, unbiased, the news you need as America prepares for the 2020 election. Listen and subscribe to Ground Game, free from the Westwood One Podcast Network, where the conversation starts.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Hey, check out this report of our Office 365 email and the threats sitting in users' inboxes.
Wow, how did you get this?
There's a free tool called Barracuda Email Threat Scanner that can quickly and safely scan our Office 365 email for hidden threats like spear phishing and domain fraud.
Really?
Yeah, Barracuda Email Threat Scanner identifies hidden threats and employees most at risk for a cyber attack, all summarized in a complete report.
This is great.
Get your free email threat scan now at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're taking your phone calls at 855-236-3228. That's 855-236-3228. Mario in California. You're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Mario.
I have a few questions, I guess. One is, how is sin defined? And I think it was Michael Knowles who claimed on your show when he was subbing in one day that homosexuality is the deadliest of all sins. So I was just curious as to why homosexuality would be propped up and labeled as the deadliest sin as opposed to, like, murder or
something. I'm fairly certain, I'm fairly certain that that is not what he actually said. I think what you're referring to is Michael Knowles said that pride is the deadliest sin, right? Not gay pride, just pride generally. Yeah. And so he said that any aspect in which you are sinning and then you are prideful about your sin is the deadliest sin. So he wasn't saying that, like, if you're prideful about being a murderer, presumably that would be, according to Knowles, the deadliest sin. I really, really doubt. I mean, I know Michael pretty well. I really don't think that Michael thinks that of all the sins that human beings can commit, homosexual activity is the deadliest sin by any stretch. By the way, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any religious figure who actually believes that homosexual activity is the deadliest of all sin. I mean, even the people who are super anti-gay activity, people who think that it's a real sin. I mean, the perspective of religious people that I've found is that, I mean, everybody sins. This is one sin among many sins. The entire chapter in Leviticus that talks about homosexual activity lists off 45 different types of sexual activity that are banned, right? Not 45, but it's more like at least a dozen, maybe a couple of dozen, right? You're not supposed to sleep with your aunt. You're not supposed to sleep with animals. You're not supposed to sleep with your father's wife, right? Like there's like a bunch of them. And homosexual activity is just one of many. So to say that it's like ranked higher on the scale of sin, that I don't think Michael has ever said, nor do I think Michael maintains that. What he has said is that if you are running around shouting about how you are proud that you are committing what is a biblical sin, then that would be a weird thing to do no matter what the biblical sin is. So I just want to be fair to Michael who, I mean, let's be real about this. Michael's the worst, but I don't think that Michael actually said that,
right.
Mario.
Is it because of that pride that you think that there is a particular resentment for homosexuality in religious groups? And what can people like me who, like, I'm a gay conservative, so, like, what can people like me do who maybe don't prescribe to a lot of the different things that come along with, you know, the LGBT community, the hookup culture, the drugs, and the over-sexualizing?
First of all, I'm not sure that anybody should be particularly proud of the sex that they are having as a general rule, right? Like, it's one part of your life, right? I mean, it's just as my sexual relationship with my wife is one part of my life. Some people consider that sinful. Some people consider that not sinful. Frankly, you know, I'm not sure why you should care what I have to say about it, right? I mean, like, if I may not like your perspective, you may not like mine. As long as I'm not attempting to cram down my perspective via the power of government, then I don't see why there really should be a conflict on all of this. I mean, when we're talking politics specifically, we are talking about the role of the federal government or the role of the state government in policing particular activity. I don't know a single Republican in America, really. I mean, they may exist. I mean, I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm sure there are some. But I don't know any Republicans right now who are calling for the outlawing of gay sex, for example. Like, I think went by the wayside in Lawrence versus Texas. I mean, in terms of Supreme Court law, which is 2003. So it's been quite a while here. So as far as sort of the generalized perspective on why so many conservatives are upset about it, I think conservatives are upset about a couple of things when it comes to sort of the gay pride movement. One is the suggestion that homosexual marriage and heterosexual marriage are identical and the same and worth the same in terms of moral value. And that is a critique with which I generally agree. I think that homosexual relationships are not built around the bearing and rearing of children, whereas heterosexual relationships ideally were supposed to be. For that matter, by the way, not all heterosexual relationships are created equal. Right? This is why I am not in favor of men and women living together in so-called sin, right, as a religious person. So that I think people disagree with. I think the idea that that religious people are to be, that their children are to be forced by the state to be taught this particular version of sexual values, namely that any value, that sexual consent is the only value, that's something that religious people don't believe, right? Religious people believe that consent is a value, but it is not the only value, meaning there's lots of things people consent to that on a religious level I object to and think is a problem. But when it comes to government, then we all agree, then we generally agree that consent is the typical value that matters the most, Mario.
Sorry to bog up the line, but outside of politics, then on like the cultural level and in personal relationships, what might be the best way for me to, I don't know exactly what the question is.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that if the question is, you know, are religious people sitting in judgment on you and judging you and making fun of you behind your back or something, I don't think that's right. I really don't. I mean, not if they're good religious
right.
people. Let me put it that way. I think that, I'm not going to play the I have gay friends card because it's stupid. But the reality is that most religious people and most conservative people know people who are gay. And even if they believe that the homosexual activity itself is a sin, I know tons of people who are sinners. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. I've yet to meet a religious person who doesn't believe that we all sin. And then the question is how you deal with that sin. And I don't actually have to, you know, believe that what you're doing is not a sin in order to say that you're a human being who's trying his best and a human being who's trying to do what you know, they feel is right in life. And we can disagree on sin. That's okay. And you can't force me to think that what you're doing is not sinful. And I can't force you to agree that you ought to cease a particular activity via force of government.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to feel like you're fighting against resentment from certain people. But outside of that, I'm not going to bog up the line anymore.
Yeah, Mario, all I would say is that religious people say this all the time, and it is actually true. Religious people resent sin. They do not resent the sinner. And if they resent the sinner and
right.
not the sin, then they're not being religious. They're actually violating the precepts of their own religion. And you can ask any pastor or priest
yeah.
about this. They would agree. Any rabbi, same thing. Okay, really appreciate it, Mario. Thanks so much. Okay, let's see. Who else? Matthew in Fredericksburg. You're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Matthew.
So I'm obviously living in Virginia, and we're going through our government here, all the gun laws that are trying to pass, gun control, red flag laws, and so forth. I'm curious as to if you know how much, after all this is said and done, that the federal government could step in and try to stop this infringement on our Second Amendment.
So I think that it is quite unlikely that the federal government has the ability to step in too much with regard to Virginia gun laws. It's up to the Supreme Court, unfortunately. And theoretically, you could have the federal government pass concealed carry reciprocity, for example, and suggest that the Privileges and Immunities Clause applies to gun ownership, that if you have a gun license in one state, you should be able to carry that across state lines into another state. That could be done at the federal level. But I don't think that the federal army is going to be sent in order to stop the state of Virginia from passing gun law. I mean, there's effective gun law in California and New York and Massachusetts, all over the country. So unfortunately, it's going to have to be fought out at the state level, Matthew, which, by the way, is probably where it should be fought out. I mean, people tend to forget that the Constitution of the United States originally applied only to the federal government. The Second Amendment, there may be a provision in the Virginia State Constitution about gun ownership. I actually don't know the Virginia Constitution all that well. But on the federal level, the powers that were prevented from governments on the federal level were prevented from governments on the federal level. That didn't necessarily mean they were prevented from governments on the state level.
Right. Yeah. And of course, we don't want to, you know,
a government that just comes in into every state every time they don't like something and intervenes.
Right.
We don't want that.
Right, exactly. I mean, but if we have to opt for it, we just have to do harder work at the state level. And it seems like people in Virginia are doing that, by the way. I think that the fight back against gun control in Virginia will in the end be successful. There are too many gun owners and too many people who believe in gun rights in Virginia for that to end any differently. Ian in Thousand Oaks, California, on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Ian.
I don't necessarily agree with your stance on the Beatles, and I was wondering if you would be willing to change your opinion on John Lennon's song Imagine.
No. I'd be willing to hear a case, but I cannot say I will find that case convincing, nor that I will take it particularly seriously. It's a horrible, horrible song. It is a pretentious, ridiculous song. Its suggestion that if you imagined a world without borders, religion, or heaven, that this would suddenly make things better, that's just the Soviet Union. No borders, no religion, no heaven, brotherhood of man, except for the several tens of millions of people we're going to have to murder in order to effectuate that end. It's a horrible song. It's just a horrible song. Ian, I appreciate the call, but I do appreciate your optimism that you thought that I would actually go for that. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to bring you the latest in the Democratic 2020 race. Is Michael Bloomberg the man with the momentum? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Defense Secretary Mark Esper on Friday defended his decision to divert billions of dollars in funding for Navy and Air Force aircraft and other military programs to help pay for President Trump's promised wall on the U.S.-Mexico border. Bernie Bennett has more from Washington.
Secretary Esper was asked by a reporter about criticism from Democrats and Republicans in Congress, including Congressman Mac Thornberry, a Republican from Texas, who called a diversion of funds contrary to the constitutional authority of Congress. Esper says border security is a national security, and national security is our mission. In reaction to the Pentagon announcement, Thornberry, the top Republican on the committee and a supporter of wall construction, said that while the administration's constitutional role is to recommend how tax dollars are spent, final choices are made by Congress.
Correspondent Bernie Bennett, there's some good news for President Trump in a new poll from Gallup.
61% of Americans say they are better off than they were 3 years ago. According to Gallup, that's a higher percentage than in prior election years when an incumbent president was running. And that sense of being better off reinforces President Trump's emphasis on the economy. But even the better off question is political. 89% of Republicans responded favorably, while just 29% of Democrats said they were doing better personally. Greg Clugston, Washington.
China has reported 2,641 new virus cases as it escalates measures to contain the outbreak and reassure an anxious public. The figure is a major drop from the higher numbers in recent days. Since a broader diagnostic method was implemented, the number of new deaths rose slightly to 143, bringing the total fatalities in mainland China to 1,523. Wall Street closed out a wobbly day of trading Friday with the major stock indexes notching their second straight weekly gain. The S&P and NASDAQ eked out tiny gains, good enough to nudge each to an all-time high for the fourth time this week. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you're worried about your cholesterol, hear how others are taking charge with Garlic.
My doctor said my cholesterol was borderline, but I've been taking Garlic, and it works.
I've been taking Garlic for years.
My pharmacist recommended Garlic. He said there's an ingredient in garlic that helps maintain healthy cholesterol.
I take Garlic every day. No garlic breath. Lots of people like you are choosing Garlic to help maintain a healthy cholesterol. Garlic, it's cholesterol's natural enemy. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Sebastian Gorka here. Maybe you've been hearing about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that helps a person's body deal with inflammation and pain. You've heard all the wonderful testimonials. Well, I have my own testimonial. For many years, my lower back pain was becoming a serious problem. The short story is, I finally gave it a try, and now I'm out of pain too. So if you're in pain, you can order the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com.
In a bid to revive the Equal Rights Amendment, the House has approved a measure removing a 1982 deadline for state ratification and reopening the process to amend the Constitution to prohibit discrimination based on sex. Democratic Congresswoman Jackie Speier of California says there's no deadline for equality. The House approved the resolution Thursday, sending it to the Republican-controlled Senate, where it's unlikely to move forward. Republican Congressman Doug Collins of Georgia says Democrats have no business trying to revive the ERA after three quarters of the states failed to ratify it by the 1982 deadline.
At the end of the day, the question really becomes is why are we doing this? Why are we bringing this forth when there is absolutely no legal precedent, no constitutional precedent, no anything out there, and including some of the founders who actually started this whole process 40-plus years ago, who say this is not the way you do it.
News and analysis at townhall.com. A popular weight loss drug is being taken off the market, apparently because of cancer concerns. Correspondent Jackie Quinn has all the details.
The Food and Drug Administration requested that Belvique be taken off the market, and its manufacturer has complied, although it disagrees with the government's analysis that the drug brings a higher risk of cancer to its users. The FDA says almost 8% of patients developed pancreatic, colorectal, or lung cancer, compared to 7.1% in a comparison group. The Japanese drug maker Eisai says it believes Belvique's benefits outweigh the risk for some because it doesn't increase the risk of heart problems like many other weight loss drugs. Regulators want patients to stop taking Belvique immediately and consult their doctors about an alternative. I'm Jackie Quinn.
More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
Aloha. This is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
The anti-Bernie alternative, that is not clear by any stretch of the imagination. But if the field were to consolidate around an alternative, it is quite possible that that alternative might be Michael Bloomberg. Ooh, Michael Bloomberg. So apparently, there's a new poll out, and it shows that Michael Bloomberg is actually, wait for it, leading in Florida. That Bloomberg is actually leading in Florida. He's ahead in Florida, according to this new survey, which is kind of surprising. There are not a lot of primary polls available from a lot of the Super Tuesday states, but the St. Pete polls survey last month has Michael Bloomberg surging ahead of Vice President Biden. More than 27% selected Bloomberg as their top choice. Biden is still at about 26%. So what exactly changed? Well, Biden has basically collapsed in Florida because he's collapsed pretty much everywhere. As far as, you know, supposed comments regarding race, that apparently has had very little effect on Michael Bloomberg. Both Bloomberg and Biden earned more than double the support of the next highest competitor. That would be Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who's at like 10.5% and Sanders at 10.4%. So none of them are doing particularly well in Florida, which does suggest that maybe there is room for an anti-Sanders candidate in all of this. If you look at the Super Tuesday states, however, again, there's not enough polling data in any of these places. In Nevada, Sanders continues to lead. He is now up fairly heavily in Nevada, according to the Las Vegas Review Journal, which has him up 25-18 over Biden, with Warren down at 13, Steyer at 10, Steyer at 11, Buttigieg and Klobuchar both at 10. There could be some room for some surprises and upsets there, but suffice it to say Sanders is expected to win that state as well. In South Carolina, Biden has been dropping steadily. The latest poll that we have there has Biden at 28, Sanders at 20, Steyer at 14, Warren at 7, and Buttigieg at 8, and Klobuchar at 7. And again, when you look at some of the Super Tuesday states, Well, the Super Tuesday states are not exactly a boon for all of the anti-Sanders candidates. California, for example, is very heavily Bernie at this point. The latest poll from California, taken by QED, KQED and NPR, has Bernie at 30, Warren at 16, Biden at 15, and everybody else below 10. So that's real ugly. Most of the Super Tuesday states that have recent polls do show a surge for Bernie. In the Texas Democratic primary, Bernie is now standing at 24%, with Biden at 22%, Warren at 15%, and Bloomberg at 10%. Now, again, there's plenty of time before this. It's March 3rd. And if Biden were to drop out after South Carolina, then presumably a lot of those votes would go someplace else. With that said, these are not good numbers for Joe Biden, and they are pretty good numbers for Bernie Sanders in terms of his possibility of gaining the nomination. Over in North Carolina, Biden is still leading, but not by much. Sanders is in second, and Bloomberg is in third. Most of the other states have not taken any recent polls at all. So that's sort of where things stand, meaning that Bernie is the frontrunner, but he is a tenuous frontrunner. And as Biden sinks, you may see a rise for Michael Bloomberg, which is why it's sort of weird that Joe Biden is going after Bloomberg. So Biden, right now, he needs to beat Sanders in South Carolina. That's all that matters. Attacking Bloomberg doesn't make tons of sense because Bloomberg isn't on the ballot in South Carolina. He's not on any of the ballots until Super Tuesday, which is the week after. And yet, Joe Biden, being strategically inept, as he is unexciting, said yesterday that he wants to debate Biden. He wants to debate Bloomberg on redlining and stop and frisk. He's going to go after Bloomberg, which makes no sense at all.
Well, one of the advantages and disadvantages, I've been the only guy through this process so far, a person who's been totally vetted. I mean, I've had a target on my back since I got in. I'm still standing. And I'm going to get a chance to debate Mayor Bloomberg. I'm going to get a chance to debate him on everything from redlining to stop and frisk to a whole range of other things.
Okay, so he is attacking Bloomberg, which is a weird strategy. He is also going after Bernie. He is saying Democrats don't want to campaign with a socialist. Now, as we will see, the Democratic strategy is to paint Bernie as a not-socialist now. This is going to be happening in short order. Here is Biden suggesting Democrats don't want a socialist. That's true, but they also don't want you, Joe, so you should be looking at getting out right now.
I think the next president now has to beat Trump. They have to bring along a Democratic Senate. Mm-hmm. And I think you look at, I went out into 24 states for 66 candidates. They're all the frontline candidates. They're in purple states and red states. We won back the House. Mm-hmm. We increased governorships. And best of my knowledge, I don't think anybody asked Bernie to come in and campaign there.
Okay, well, he is right, again, about everything he says about Sanders is right. The problem is that he has no perspective on himself. Joe Biden is collapsing largely because President Trump didn't even actually have to get the results of the Biden investigation in Ukraine in order to nail Biden. Right? Joe Biden went on The View yesterday and he said that Biden has never done anything but a good thing in his life, which is a weird thing to say about a dude who just knocked up a lady who he is not married to and then tried to deny paternity of, and also has spent his adult life taking drugs and jet-setting around the world to pick up bags of cash because his last name is Biden. Very weird take here.
I just don't want to let myself get into the mood of, like, for example, people say, well, why don't I attack his kids? They're making millions of dollars. That's not how we were raised. Mm-hmm, and look, nobody has said he's done anything wrong. This is a guy who has done nothing but good things his whole life. My son and ran a food program, USA, and a whole range of things. But look, it's what it is. We knew it was going to be ugly.
He's done nothing but good things his whole life? Nothing? Really? Yeah, Biden is in serious, serious trouble. And this has set the search going. Who will replace Biden at the top of that heap? So we've heard some Buttigieg. Buttigieg doesn't have any black support. We've heard some Klobuchar, who has yet to win a state. And we've heard a lot of Michael Bloomberg. Peggy Noonan over at the Wall Street Journal. She says, we are misreading Mike Bloomberg's race for the Democratic presidential nomination. The headline right now is not billionaire tries to buy party and not former Republican struggles with stop and frisk history. The headline is he could. Okay, and that's true. Okay, Bloomberg could be the guy that everybody is sort of counting on to move against Trump. And you're starting to see this even on Twitter, because Bloomberg is very aggressive in the language that he uses with regard to President Trump. And Trump comes directly at Bloomberg, and Bloomberg goes right back at him in a very aggressive New York way. And that is very cathartic for a lot of Democrats. It is really what they are looking for. It's also true that all the attempted hits against Bloomberg they seem to be falling kind of flat. I'll explain a couple of those attempted hits in just one moment. First, let's talk about the reality, which is that you never know when, God forbid, something bad's going to happen to you. This is why you should have life insurance. If you're a responsible adult, you ought to have life insurance. We're always going to get the future wrong, But that's why you should insure against the future with PolicyGenius.com. Once you apply, the PolicyGenius team will handle all the paperwork and the red tape. And PolicyGenius doesn't just make life insurance easy. They can also help you find the right home and auto insurance, disability insurance. So, if you're worried about the future, as you should be as a responsible adult, if you're worried about, God forbid, you get hit by a truck tomorrow and your family is left not only without you but without your source of income, you should be looking at buying life insurance right now. And PolicyGenius is the best way to do this. Again, you can do it online. It makes it super easy. You're not doing it via word of mouth. They do home insurance, auto insurance, disability insurance. They can help you bundle insurance policies. They can help you handle the entire process. Go check them out at PolicyGenius.com. Again, that's PolicyGenius.com. You know, you're always going to predict that things are going to be rosy for you in the future. They may not be. And that is why you should spend a little bit of money, and you should make sure that you have the insurance coverage you need. It's just the responsible thing to do, and your workplace life insurance probably is not sufficient. Go check out PolicyGenius.com today. That's PolicyGenius.com. So there are a bunch of sort of Oppo research pieces that are coming out about Michael Bloomberg. There's only one problem. Because they're being brought out by the supposedly woke, the Oppo research doesn't actually hurt him in a lot of the states he is running. So let's take an example. Last week, Business Insider broke a piece of audio from 2016 about Michael Bloomberg talking about the cultural disconnect between a lot of the country and the Democratic Party. And he was talking specifically about the fact that there are so many members of the Democratic Party who keeps saying things like we should allow men into women's bathrooms. Okay, if this is supposed to be a slam on Bernie, that the choice is between Elizabeth Warren saying that she's going to vet her education secretary with a transgender child and Michael Bloomberg saying, yeah, most Americans are not cool with a dude in a dress walking into a lady's bathroom. That's not a hit against Bloomberg. That is one of the reasons that Bloomberg is possibly the moderate front runner. I know it's uncomfortable for many Democrats who have bought into the bullcrap, but what Bloomberg says here is not going to hurt him in any real way.
You want to know, is somebody a good salesman? Give him the job of going to the Midwest and picking a town and selling to that town the concept that some man wearing a dress should be in a locker room with their daughter. If you can sell that, you can sell anything. I mean, they just look at you and they say, what on earth are you talking about? And you say, well, this person identifies his or her gender as different than what's on their birth certificate. And they say, what do you mean? You're either born this or you're born that.
Okay, well, he is not wrong about this. And he's certainly not wrong about the American public's, you know, take on this issue. Okay, so the other hit that they've been trying to bring out in the recent past is they keep trying to bring up Michael Bloomberg and his supposed sexism. Now, again, here's the problem. He's running against Bernie Sanders and the Bernie Bros. He's running against Donald Trump. Like, if you really believe that you're going to be able to Me Too your way to the presidency in this day and age, that is not going to happen. So ABC News ran a piece not that long ago that is now being passed around again about allegations that he directed crude and sexist comments to women in his office, including a claim in the 1990s that he told an employee who had just announced she was pregnant to kill it. The woman alleged in a lawsuit, quote, he told me to kill it in a serious monotone voice. I asked, what? What did you just say? He looked at me and repeated in a deliberate manner, kill it. Okay, well, whether that is true or not, that's a bad look. But you're a Democrat, so what do you care? I mean, frankly, like, I understand that Democrats want to pretend it's all about a woman's choice, but they're also the party of shout your abortion. I mean, they just lit up the World Trade Center pink in honor of abortion until point of birth. So, like, I don't see how that is going to wildly damage Michael Bloomberg. Instead, it's just going to be passed off in the same way that Republicans passed off Trump's brash rhetoric as Michael Bloomberg's brash rhetoric. Bloomberg, by the way, did deny that specific allegation. But quotes attributed to him in court filings include, I would do you in a second. Yes, I'm sure that is going to sink Michael Bloomberg in the party of Bill Clinton. That he said to a woman, I'm going to do you in a second. Is that bad? Is it rude? Is it gross? Absolutely. Is that going to sink Michael Bloomberg? Not a shot. Not a shot. They're bringing out all the Oppo, and they're bringing it out too early because he ain't even in the race yet. If they're hoping to preemptively knock him off, I do not think that is a thing that is going to happen that quickly. He's spending too much money. Most people's first brush with Michael Bloomberg is they're watching TV and he appears on your TV saying nice things to you. With all of that said, they have done national Democratic primary polling head-to-head within all the Democrats. Here's what Yahoo News and YouGov came up with. Bernie beating Joe Biden 48-44 with 8% not sure. Bernie beating Elizabeth Warren 44-42 with 14% not sure. Bernie winning an outright majority against Michael Bloomberg 53-38 with 10% not sure. Bernie beating Pete Buttigieg 54-37 with 10% not sure. And Bernie beating Amy Klobuchar 54-33 with 13% not sure. So, pretty fascinating. All the talk about the field is definitely going to consolidate around an anti-Bernie alternative. That is not exactly what those polls are showing. Coming up, President Trump is getting into it with his own attorney general. It's a dumb look. There's no reason for it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
The most dangerous day for a newborn is her first day of life. Every 31 seconds, an infant dies from infections, pneumonia, malnutrition. But she doesn't have to die. For more than 60 years, Project Hope has been saving lives around the world, delivering medicines and supplies, giving newborns a healthy start, making sure her first day of life is not her last, because everyone deserves hope. To volunteer or learn more about Project Hope, visit projecthope.org/newborns.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, President Trump under fire from the left. Why? Well, because he went on Twitter and he basically suggested on Twitter that it was his intervention that resulted in Roger Stone's sentencing recommendation being lowered. Right? That is sort of the problem here. So, President Trump has been tweeting consistently about the Roger Stone case, which is never a good look. He's the sitting president of the United States. He presides over a Justice Department that is trying that case. Earlier this week, four of the prosecutors in that case walked off the job. The story that the media told is that those four prosecutors were standing up for the law. They were just recommending what Roger Stone deserved. They'd run it up the flagpole. It had been greenlit. And then President Trump had decided to step in and quash this thing. Right? That was the original media take. Then it turned out, according to the DOJ, that these four prosecutors basically went off on their own, didn't bother to file their sentencing recommendation with their higher-ups, filed the most egregious sentencing recommendation, and that forced Attorney General Barr to step in. And then President Trump went out there and started blabbing about what a wonderful guy Barr was for having lowered the sentencing recommendation, which made it look as though Trump had given the order in the first place. Now, Trump denied that he'd given the order, but Trump denies lots of stuff, right? Trump denied at one point that he had sent Rudy Giuliani to Ukraine. So, you know, what Trump says in those cases does not tend to be particularly, I would say, bolstering. It doesn't make you feel a sense of solidity. And with all of that said, This prompted Attorney General Barr yesterday to come out and say, listen, I'm not going to be bullied by President Trump. I'm the Attorney General. I made the call. You don't like the call, come to me. But Trump didn't tell me to do anything. But the president needs to stop tweeting because it makes it look as though he's manipulating me when, in fact, he is not actually manipulating me. He's not serving his own interests.
I will make those decisions based on what I think is the right thing to do, and I'm not going to be bullied or influenced by anybody. And I said at the time, whether it's Congress, newspaper, editorial boards, or the president, I'm going to do what I think is right. I cannot do my job here at the department with a constant background commentary that undercuts me. Tweets made about the department, about our people in the department, our men and women here, about cases pending in the department, and about judges before whom we have cases, make it impossible for me to do my job.
Yeah, this is 100% true. Now, you can tell the difference between the hacks on the Republican side and people who actually are not hacks on the Republican side by how they're reacting to Barr. If you're a hack, then your first move here is, how could Barr cross President Trump? How could he cross him? Which, of course, underscores the criticism of Trump in the first place. If your criticism is, why isn't Barr just defending Trump? The entire criticism is that Trump was using the DOJ to pursue his personal policy. Okay, but that's not what the DOJ is supposed to be doing, theoretically speaking. Like, I'm old enough to remember when we were mad at Loretta Lynch and Eric Holder and Janet Reno for pursuing the president's policy as opposed to the DOJ policy. And then there are people who correctly are saying that William Barr is basically making sure the president doesn't get blamed for a thing he didn't do, which is right. Barr appears to be charting Trump, but at the same time, what he's really saying is to the media, listen, I made the call on my own. Trump is mouthing off. He's not reflecting some sort of underlying reality wherein he was giving me orders to ignore the law and let Roger Stone off the hook. So Mitch McConnell, no better friend of President Trump's policy than Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, he came out and he said, yeah, of course Barr is right, and President Trump should sit down and you should shut up about this kind of stuff because, frankly, he makes himself look bad, and then he makes his own attorney general look bad.
The president made a great choice when he picked Bill Barr to be attorney general. I think the president should listen to his advice.
So you have a problem with the president's tweeting as well?
I think that if the attorney general says it's getting in the way of doing his job, maybe the president should listen to the attorney general.
So do you think the tweet about his opinion on the Roger Stone sentencing recommendations is inappropriate political interference?
Well, the attorney general has said it's making it difficult for him to do his job. I think the president ought to listen to the attorney general.
This is correct. If the president just let people do their jobs, honestly, he'd be so much better off. Instead of fulminating against them while they're in their jobs. Like, the truth is that virtually every problem in the Trump administration has happened because Trump can't just keep this stuff inside. He goes on Twitter and vomits it out. If he had just fired James Comey, if he had just fired him, and then he had said nothing to Lester Holt, and then he had not done a bunch of media interviews, and if he had not spilled out on Twitter that it was all about Russia and all of this kind of stuff, then he just would have been firing his FBI director. End of story. For good cause, by the way. James Comey should have been fired by Obama. Instead, it turned into a full investigation because he had to vent his spleen on national TV. If President Trump didn't feel the need to go out there and mouth off about Jeff Sessions, his own attorney general, for years, then there wouldn't have been any controversy over whether he was trying to manipulate Jeff Sessions and the DOJ. This is the point that Barr is making. So how does Trump respond to all of this? Well, President Trump asserted Friday he had the legal right to intervene in federal criminal cases a day after Attorney General William Barr publicly rebuked him for attacks on Justice Department prosecutors and others involved in the case of Roger Stone, the president's longtime friend. In a morning tweet, Trump quoted Barr, saying the president has never asked me to do anything in a criminal case. The president said he had so far chosen not to interfere in a criminal case, even though he insisted he is not legally bound to do so. He said, this does not mean I do not have, as president, the legal right to do so, but I do, and so far I have chosen not to. Well, the minute that Trump says something like, I didn't do it, but if I wanted to, I could, then the immediate suspicion of any rational person is going to be, well, maybe you did do it. Or, maybe you plan on doing it in the future. How is this useful to him? The assertion by the president rejecting a request by Mr. Barr to stop tweeting about the department's cases adds to the mounting controversy over the decision by senior Justice Department officials to overrule prosecutors who had recommended a 7 to 9 year sentence for Stone, who was convicted of 7 felonies in a bid to obstruct a congressional investigation that threatened Trump. The recommendation infuriated Trump, who called the department's handling of the case a disgrace. Now, by the way, the handling of the case was apparently a disgrace, and Barr basically said that. He said, listen, prosecutors ran without even running it up the flagpole. They should have asked me. They didn't. And that's why I did what I did. Why shouldn't Trump just leave that to Barr? Why is it left instead to his Twitter feed? How is this helpful to Trump? As I've said 1,000 times at this point, if President Trump wants to win, he should make sure that he is not the issue. If President Trump does not want to win, he should make sure that he is at the center of the universe and he is the issue. The fact that Trump continues to fulminate on Twitter is not to his benefit. It is not a smart thing to do. It is not a wise thing to do. So I hope the people around him are telling out. I assume they are. The good news is that we've finally hit the weekend, so presumably there will be a bit of a break over President's Day weekend. But again, the Democrats are in complete state of meltdown. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Bernie Sanders is their guy. Bernie Sanders is their front runner right now. Barring Joe Biden coming back and winning South Carolina, Joe Biden is basically out of the race, and it's hard to see how the Democrats consolidate around any moderate to defeat Bernie in terms of delegates before the convention. Very difficult to see that happening. We'll get into all of that coming up. Democrats have a new pitch. They're starting to admit Bernie might be the front runner, but apparently we've all got Bernie wrong, guys. We've all got him wrong. He's not a socialist after all, even though he says he is a socialist. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
This is Ground Game with me, Julie Pace, AP's Washington Bureau Chief. Is the takeaway really here from national polls at this stage of the race that it is mostly just name recognition?
Certainly being on the airwaves in all of these states probably has a little bit of an influence.
Original, unbiased, the news you need as America prepares for the 2020 election. Listen and subscribe to Ground Game, free. From the Westwood One Podcast Network, where the conversation starts.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account.
Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
This Girl Scout cookie season, we Girl Scouts would like to say thank you, America.
Thank you, cookie cravers, Thin Mint enthusiasts,
peanut butter patrons,
shortbread devotees.
Every time you take a bite of a Girl Scout cookie, it's good for us.
Your coconut and caramel cravings are our chance to practice goal setting.
Your midnight snacks help us learn to manage money.
Your freezers aren't just full of tasty treats.
They're packed with entrepreneurship.
That's right, entrepreneurship.
You probably can't taste the business ethic or the decision-making or the people skills, but they're in there
in every single mouthful.
Every time you eat what's in the box, we learn how to think outside of it.
So raise a glass of milk and raise our chances to reach our potential.
Eat up, America. We're counting on you.
I'm Catalina.
I'm Melody.
I'm Katie.
I'm Devin.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Abby.
I'm Juliana.
I'm Nicole.
I'm Olivia.
I'm Colette.
I'm Stefania.
And we approve this message.
The Girl Scout Cookie Program. Think outside the box.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. One of the reasons why President Trump should just stay out of the... When your enemy is making a mistake, don't stop them. Don't distract. Just let them do it, right? First rule of politics. The Democrats are making a giant mistake right now. Their giant mistake is nominating Bernie Sanders. Huge, huge mistake. If you look at the 538 estimates right now, Bernie is the guy with the best shot of winning the nomination. Although, amazing. They've just updated their Democratic primary forecast. Are you ready for this? The Democratic primary forecast, the person with the best shot of winning the nomination, of winning a majority of delegates on the first ballot, is no one. 538, no one. Amazing. I mean, that's amazing. It is. Like right now, 538 is predicting basically that the best shot is that there's an open convention with Bernie at 1-3, Biden at 1-8, and Bloomberg at 1-12. Right now, Bernie is still the likeliest to move over the majority of pledged delegates, but that is not clear at all. And the new polling data from South Carolina shows that Biden isn't completely toast. I mean, the newest polling data has Biden at about 28%. So if he is able to sort of hold on, if he finishes second to Nevada, maybe Biden's not done. Maybe we all wrote his obit a little bit early. If Biden finishes second in Nevada and competitive with Bernie, you never know. You never know. Be interesting. I just root for chaos at this point, frankly, but Bernie is the guy with the best shot at the nomination because, of course, if Bernie wins the most delegates, they're not going to take it from him. If they did that, all the Bernie acolytes would go nuts and run screaming from the room and allow Trump to remain president. The problem is that Bernie's a communist. I mean, Bernie keeps saying that he's a socialist. And then people are like, what do you mean by socialism? And he says, I mean, I like ice cream. And people are like, oh, that's socialism. And he's like, yes, ice cream is good, but only one flavor. I do not like Rocky Road. Marshmallows stick in my craw. And so that's not socialism. And Bernie's been playing this inside-outside game that I've been talking about for a long time. The reality is that Bernie's in favor of nationalization of resources. He has talked about a national rent control program, which would effectively would mean they're going to need massive public housing, which is government-owned housing. He has talked about restructuring corporate boards such that 45% of all corporate boards of companies with over 1,000 employees would have to be elected by workers, which is effectively speaking a government takeover of industry. I mean, it really is. And Bernie doing this routine, you know, it's pretty astonishing that he both wants to be the socialist and not be the socialist. Because here's the truth about him. Either he is or he isn't. Either he is the government ownership of the means of production guy, or he's not. And if he's not, if he's just a guy who likes free markets generally, but he wants a lot of social programs stacked on top of them, he is no different from Biden or Buttigieg or Bloomberg or Warren or Klobuchar or any of the rest. And so now this is what the Democrats are trying to claim. They're trying to say, you know, I know that Bernie sounds scary. And sure, Bernie runs on being scary. But he doesn't mean it, guys. He's not actually scary. He doesn't actually mean he's going to do any of this stuff. So either you take Bernie seriously or you don't take Bernie seriously. And now his own advocates are saying, please don't take Bernie seriously. Now, one person who does take Bernie seriously is James Carville. So Carville said the other day, are we crazy nominating somebody this far left? Are we nuts? Bernie then responded by suggesting that Carville was a political hack on national television.
James, in all due respect, is a political hack who said very terrible things when he was working for Clinton against Barack Obama. I think he said some of the same things. Look, we are taking on the establishment. This is no secret to anybody. We are taking on Trump, the Republican establishment, Carville, and the Democratic establishment.
Okay, so Carville is really bad. He's part of the establishment. Carville fired back. He said, last night on CNN, Bernie called me a political hack. That's exactly who the F I am. I'm a political hack. I'm not an ideologue. I'm not a purist. He thinks it's a pejorative. I kind of like it. At least I'm not a communist. As I suggested earlier on today, President Trump, that should be his slogan. Trump 2020, at least I'm not a communist. Seriously, it'd be very difficult to lose with that slogan. At least I'm not a communist. So what are the Democrats doing about this? They're saying, no, he's not serious, guys. Stop taking Bernie seriously. He's not a communist. Sure, he says he's a communist. Sure, he says he's a socialist. But really, he's not. Paul Krugman leading the way on this. So Paul Krugman, who has never met a government program he doesn't like, he has a piece in the New York Times today called Bernie Sanders Isn't a Socialist, but he plays one on TV, and that's a problem. Weird, because I was informed that socialism was the wave of the future. So Paul Krugman says, the thing is, Bernie Sanders isn't actually a socialist in any normal sense of the term. He doesn't want to nationalize our major industries and replace markets with central planning. He has expressed admiration not for Venezuela, but for Denmark. He's basically what Europeans would call a social democrat. And social democracies like Denmark are, in fact, quite nice places to live. Societies that are, if anything, freer than our own. Now, quick note. You know who's been saying this for years? Yeah, that's right. Me. I've been saying for years that if you are saying that you are in favor of the Danish system, or you're in favor of the Swedish system, or you're in favor of the Nordic system, that really what you are talking about is a capitalist system. You know who else has been saying that? The politicians in these countries. If you labeled them socialist, they would be insulted. It's like calling Canada socialist. Canada is not socialist. They've socialized medicine. That does not mean that Canada is a socialist country. Britain is not socialist. Britain is a free market economy. Germany is more heavily regulated, but still a free market economy. Okay, these were all members of the non-Cold War, of the Cold War non-USSR side. Okay, so Bernie, who, by the way, did speak very warmly about Venezuela for years and did speak very warmly about Cuba and the USSR. Here's the thing. Making the claim that a lot of Democrats who are labeled socialists are not, in fact, really socialists, that's kind of true and kind of fair. But Bernie is actually as radical as he sounds. I mean, yesterday on the program, we went through full scale his agenda, which sounds a lot more like nationalization of massive swaths of American industry than it does like a guy who just wants to tamper around the edges of American capitalism. But says Paul Krugman, why does Sanders call himself a socialist? I'd say it's mainly about personal branding, with a dash of glee at shocking the bourgeois. And this self-indulgence did no harm as long as he was just a senator from a very liberal state. But if Sanders becomes the Democratic presidential nominee, his misleading self-description will be a gift to the Trump campaign. So will his policy proposals. Single-payer health care is a good idea in principle and very unlikely to happen in practice. But by making Medicare for All the centerpiece of his campaign, Sanders would take the focus off Trump's determination to take away the social safety net we already have. So now the Democrats are pitching that Bernie will be unsuccessful. You shouldn't fear Bernie as the nominee because he's not going to do all the things he says he is going to do. So we now have the Democrats doing the left-wing version of take Trump seriously but not literally. The difference is that Trump is a person that, of course, you should not take literally because he never speaks literally. Bernie has been speaking literally his entire career. I'm going to need evidence that when Bernie talks about the evils of the free market, he's speaking figuratively. That when he talks about socialism, he's speaking figuratively. Like, why should we not take it early? He said in his 30s that he wanted to nationalize every major industry in the United States. Krugman, of course, says, just to be clear, if Sanders is indeed the nominee, the Democratic Party should give him its wholehearted support. He probably couldn't turn America into Denmark. Even if he could, President Trump is trying to turn us into a white nationalist autocracy like Hungary. Which would you prefer? But I do wish that Sanders weren't so determined to make himself an easy target for right-wing smears. And then this is my favorite part. Krugman then goes after Pete Buttigieg. Why? Because Pete Buttigieg has said in the past that he is not into deficits. And that apparently is very bad. You should be very into deficits like Paul Krugman. But by the way, it's not just Paul Krugman trying to walk Bernie off the socialist ledge. It's AOC trying to do it. other members of the Democratic Party trying to do it. We're going to get back into this in just one second. First, let's talk for a second about the earbuds that you're using to listen to this program. You need Raycons, okay? I know you might have the more expensive earbuds that don't fit properly in your ear and they fall out of your ear every time you bend over. Or maybe you're using the old earphones, the ones that fit over your whole head. Or maybe you have the earbuds that have the wires on them and they plug into your phone. You wrap them up over your phone, the wire starts to break. It's a real pain in the butt. Why don't you just get yourself a nice pair of wireless earbuds that are not going to cost you a fortune? I'm talking Raycon. You've heard me talk about Raycon's wireless earbuds and how much I love mine. They are half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds I've used, and they sound just as amazing. If you haven't bought a pair, today would be your lucky day. Raycon just released their best model yet, the E25s. They have 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, a more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are incredibly comfortable. They are perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking phone calls as well. They've even got some nice noise-canceling attached to them, which is great if you got kids. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That's buyraycon.com/Ben for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Again, buyraycon.com/Ben. That's buyraycon.com/Ben. So, as I say, the Democrats' new pitch is that Bernie isn't who he says he is. AOC is making this pitch as well. AOC is suggesting that Bernie doesn't mean all the things he's going to say, which is weird because just a second ago, AOC was claiming fairly openly that Bernie was going to get rid of Border Patrol and ICE. Are we supposed to take that literally or only seriously or what? AOC now says that President Sanders would not be able to effectuate Medicare for All. She says, the worst case scenario, we compromise deeply. We end up getting a public option. Is that a nightmare? I don't think so. So Bernie is now basically, like, his spokesperson is out there saying, well, sure, we'll go for Medicare for All, but we all really know what that means, right? What that really means is the Buttigieg plan. That's really what this means. See, even AOC is trying to soft-pedal exactly what Bernie wants to do. Matt Fuller at the Huffington Post has a piece today titled, The Big Roadblock for Bernie Sanders' Agenda. Moderates shouldn't be too scared of a Sanders presidency when all Republicans and most Democrats in Congress publicly oppose Medicare for All. In other words, don't worry about Bernie being a crazy person. After all, the institutions will hem him in. These are the same people who say that the institutions have done nothing to hem in President Trump. And that we should take everything Trump says super literally, but nothing Bernie Sanders says very literally at all. According to the Huffington Post, while differences between candidates could manifest themselves in plenty of ways in office, any Democratic president would have an extremely tough time actually enacting systemic changes like Medicare for All. Lost in all of these healthcare debates between presidential contenders is that the resulting healthcare policies would probably all look very similar, regardless of who wins. Every Republican and most Democrats in Congress publicly oppose Medicare for All. And while those numbers have been shifting, there's almost certainly a critical mass of Democrats who would join Republicans to block a single-payer healthcare system in the House, let alone the Senate, where Republicans are likely to retain the majority or at least be a vote or two away from it. Representative Dan Kildee of Michigan, Chief Deputy Whip of the Democratic Caucus, told Huffington Post, you got to get 218 votes on the floor of the House to do anything. Then you got to figure out a way to get to, theoretically, 60 votes in the Senate. I don't think that means we don't have big ideas that candidates put out and pursue. But yeah, we have to make sure we're not creating some sort of expectation that electing a president means the entire agenda is sort of self-actualizing. Huffington Post says, anyone who thinks electing Bernie Sanders president means Medicare for All would become law has an unrealistic view of lawmaking. And yet, literally, that's what Bernie Sanders says in debates. So they want it both ways. Bernie says he's going to magically turn America into communist utopia. And then behind the scenes, all of his media acolytes are like, he doesn't mean it, guys. Don't be scared of Bernie. He's just an old kook. Yeah, he's a guy with a great vision. But he doesn't mean any of these things. AOC told Huffington Post, a president can't wave a magic wand and pass any legislation they want, which is weird, because literally her entire pitch in politics has been the reason that we don't do her radical agenda is because people aren't buying into the vision. Right? That if we just waved a magical wand, everybody would do exactly what she wanted, including her idiotic Green New Deal. AOC says she thinks voters understand there's an inherent check on the president's ability to actually change things like our healthcare system. She argues that the realities of governing were actually an argument for someone like Sanders. I mean, this is amazing. It's amazing. The Democrats are now openly saying, sure, we might nominate a socialist, but it doesn't matter if we nominate a socialist because they can't actually do any of these things. So then why the hell are you running a socialist? So you're lying to everybody. Right? Bernie's lying is what you're saying. You're saying that Klobuchar is accurate, Buttigieg is accurate, and Bernie's lying. But it's okay that Bernie's lying. He's fully authentic. So which is it? Is he a liar or is he authentic? The Democrats understand they got a loser on their hands in Bernie Sanders, and they are panicking. And so you are seeing people who are now pushing toward Michael Bloomberg. you are seeing people panicking and trying to recast Bernie Sanders as some sort of moderate. Pretty amazing right now. Pretty amazing to watch the Democrats in full-scale panic. So all we can say is, President Trump, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Just let it happen. Let it happen right now. By the way, Joe Biden still is not out of this race. East Carolina University has that South Carolina poll. Biden 28, Sanders 20. Now, to be fair, Biden is down 9 points and Sanders is up 6 points in South Carolina. If Biden collapses in Nevada, my guess is he probably loses South Carolina. But the fact that the Democrats are trying to buy back everything Bernie is saying is pretty telling, is it not? By the way, in national polling, he is now 10 percentage points up in the Democratic race. 10 percentage points up. Good luck with your socialist candidate trying to pretend he's not a socialist. Wow. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to end the week on a high note. We're going to talk a little bit of Bible. It is that time of the week. We do that every week. This week's Torah portion happens to be the Ten Commandments, so a lot of good stuff there. We'll get into that momentarily. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Hey, have you heard that ransomware attacks have increased by 500% this year?
Yeah, cybercriminals are targeting all types of businesses, encrypting their data and holding it hostage unless they pay up.
What if we're their next victim?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda to detect, prevent, and recover from ransomware and other advanced threats.
So we're secured?
Absolutely. We'll pay no ransom and keep this business up and running.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
This is Ground Game with me, Julie Pace, AP's Washington Bureau Chief. Is the takeaway really here from national polls at this stage of the race that it is mostly just name recognition?
Certainly being on the airwaves in all of these states probably has a little bit of an influence.
Original, unbiased, the news you need as America prepares for the 2020 election. Listen and subscribe to Ground Game, free from the Westwood One Podcast Network, where the conversation starts.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Okay, now, quick note, since it is a Friday, I haven't done a Bible thing in a little while, so let me do a quick Bible study segment with you. So, this week's Torah portion for the Jews is the portion that contains the Ten Commandments, the Parsha of Yitro, which is kind of fascinating because the Parsha with the Ten Commandments is actually named after a non-Jew, right? Yitro is the father-in-law of Moses and was considered sort of the high priest of Midian, and he supposedly, according to various commentaries, converts to Judaism after the splitting of the Red Sea. He approaches Moses. He explains to him how a hierarchical judicial system should work with a court of appeals, with Moses sitting at the top. And all of this in the Parsha is named after him, which is a suggestion as to some of the interesting things about the Ten Commandments. Okay, so the Ten Commandments, obviously, the most important statement of morality, probably in the most impactful in the history of humanity. And there's always been this interesting sort of tension between how much of the Ten Commandments is discernible by human reason and how much of the Ten Commandments needed to be handed down by God. How much of it needed to be handed down as revelation. There's even some interesting commentary in Jewish sources as to whether God actually announced all Ten Commandments or whether he only announced. So in the Torah, God only announces the first two commandments, and then the people say, okay, we can't handle this. God is too much for us. We need Moses to tell us the rest of these things. So Maimonides, in Guide to the Perplexed, specifically talks about what exactly it was that people were given at Sinai in terms of the Ten Commandments from God directly, right? Because this is the time in Jewish history when God speaks directly to the people as a corporate entity, right? It's 600,000 Jews supposedly standing in front of Mount Sinai. So what exactly did God do? So apparently God was so awesome, according to Maimonides, that people immediately intuited there is a God and I shan't have any other gods before him. So the first two commandments were even understandable simply from the mere presence of God, the mere power of standing in front of God. So how much of the Ten Commandments is discernible from natural law? And how much of the Ten Commandments is something that has to be handed down and inculcated and taught? How much could we just sort of discover on our own? Well, the first two, right, the first two commandments, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage, right, that basic concept is, of course, something that has to be handed down from God, because you can logic your way to the idea of a creator of the universe, but that logic doesn't necessarily carry over into a God of history who cares about you every single day, who cares about what happens to you. And so God's involvement with the world is the core assumption that the Ten Commandments makes and then hands down to you. And then you can discern some of the other of the Ten Commandments from that, right? Like the obligation not to murder would be a pretty obvious one. Because if every human being is made in the image of God, which is in Genesis, and God is a God who cares about individual human beings and cares about history, then you can certainly intuit the idea that you're not supposed to kill or kidnap or steal from other people, right? The basic idea that you have an individual right against other individuals, that sort of stuff does spring from the Ten Commandments. But there are certain aspects of the Ten Commandments that are, I think, necessary to be given, that are necessary to be given. So some of those, for example, the Sabbath, necessary to be given, right? There's nothing that suggests that we shouldn't be working all 7 days per week. But what that really is, in essence, is a recognition that we are in control of our own time, that we are not to be slaves to the collective. In the end, the Ten Commandments, which are given collectively to the Jewish people corporately, right, that the Ten Commandments are a ringing endorsement of individual rights. Because when you look at the Ten Commandments, they are nearly all about individual rights that you have against other human beings. Right, first, you have to acknowledge God. Second, you have to acknowledge that nothing else can supplant God, right? Government cannot take over for God. That is the thou shalt have no other gods before me. Government can't take the role of God. Government can't fix all cosmic injustices. That is not the role of any collective to do. And any collective that attempts to do so violates the first commandment and the second commandment. And then there's the third commandment, that you shan't take the name of the Lord your God in vain, which really is a specific demand not to pervert the words of Scripture. My friend Dennis Prager has a really great take on this. He says, does God really care if you say GD? Does God really care if you say a bad curse word that has God's name in it? He says, well, you know, probably shouldn't do it, but is that really what the commandment is about? Is it really about cursing? And the answer is no. The answer is that what you really shouldn't do is supplant your own agenda for God's and then call it God's. Right? You got to be very careful about what you're doing, Pete Buttigieg. Right? Trying to suggest that the Bible backs your particular vision of the world in contravention of God's explicit word is an attempt to take God's name in vain. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, is, again, a statement of your individuality and your individual right to your own time. That the Sabbath is between you and God, but nobody else can force you to work on the Sabbath. That you got to have breaks, right? Slavery is about other people being in control of your time. So the fourth commandment, which is the Sabbath, the idea there is that you are now in control of your own time, honoring your father and mother, right? This is about understanding that your rights and duties are handed down parentally, not from a society that starts anew every single generation. And this is a real conflict between left and right. The left in the United States believes that every single generation we have to remake our morality as brand new and reject the morality of our parents. Honoring your father and mother acknowledges that you have a duty to examine the past and you have a duty to examine your forefathers, because your rights come, in the words of Edmund Burke, not just from these kind of new version of enlightenment rights, but also handed down via history. The sixth commandment, you shouldn't murder. Obviously, that springs from natural rights. You shouldn't commit adultery. That springs from natural rights, because you're violating the sanctity of an oath that you took to another human being when you commit adultery. Contra the New York Times, which, by the way, has an article this week about sexually open marriages again. It's amazing. I don't know how repressed they are at the New York Times. But, like, every other day, there's an article at the New York Times about how you should be able to cheat on your spouse and your spouse should be okay with it. Like, a plea for something from the editors of the New York Times. The Eighth Commandment, you shouldn't steal, obviously, an acknowledgement of individual rights. Right? Because if you have a right to something, people don't have a right to steal it from you. The Ninth Commandment, you shouldn't bear false witness against your neighbor. Again, an indication of individual rights. And this does come up fairly regularly. Right? People who suggest that due process does not apply based on your social group, those people are violating your individual rights. They're bearing false witness against neighbors based specifically on their social distinctions. And finally, you shouldn't covet. That is the greatest indicator in favor of individual rights, because you don't have a right to somebody else's property or somebody else's life. You can hope to have a life as good as theirs, but you certainly do not get to covet other people's property, which is the basis of the Bernie Sanders campaign and the socialist left. Okay, so the Ten Commandments, I think, largely discernible from the basic idea that God is present in the universe, cares about you, and believes in you as an individual. The single most important statement of morality, presumably in human history. The most impactful, certainly. So go check it out this week, since it is that week in the Jewish calendar. All righty. Well, on that uplifting note, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And recognize on President's Day that one of the great things that America has brought to the world is the fulfillment of that basic principle in the Ten Commandments, that you as an individual are important, that you as an individual have rights. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you here on Tuesday for all the latest craziness. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffith. A senior U.S. official says that the United States and the Taliban have reached agreement on a temporary truce that will take effect in the coming days. If successfully completed, it will lead to a formal ceasefire, the start of peace negotiations between all Afghan sides next month, and the ultimate withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan. Speaking to reporters at the Munich Security Conference, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says the alliance might be willing to draw down some of their 16,000 troops in Afghanistan.
We are ready to adjust that force level if Taliban is able to demonstrate real will and real ability to reduce violence, and we see a path to peace.
Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders gets pranked by Russians posing as Greta Thunberg.
Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders appears to have been the victim of a hoax pulled off by Russian pranksters Vladimir Kuznetsov and Alexei Stolyarov. In a December interview on Skype, the pranksters had Sanders thinking he was talking to climate activist Greta Thunberg.
Hi, Greta. How are you?
Fine. It's nice to meet you.
The fake Greta offered to lend her support to the Sanders campaign.
What is the best thing to do?
Well, if you would like to help in our campaign, that would be wonderful.
The entire call lasted over 10 minutes. A recording of the call was posted on YouTube Thursday. The Sanders campaign did not comment on its authenticity Friday. I'm Mike Gracia.
A Customs and Border Protection memo obtained by the Associated Press confirms that bus companies such as Greyhound do not have to allow Border Patrol agents on board to conduct routine checks for immigrants living in the country illegally. That's contrary to Greyhound's long insistence that it has no choice but to let agents on board. More on these stories at townhall.com.
PAC Mortgage Corp. DBA Cash Call Mortgage. NMLS ID 128231. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in all states, including New York. Offer not available in Washington. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing terms and restrictions.
You see it on TV every day. Global turmoil. But these international events help keep interest rates low and may even drive them lower. In response, we at Cash Call Mortgage have lowered our interest rates for the new year. And that's great news for homeowners. If you have a current rate above 2.99%, call us to see how much you can save. If you qualify, we'll even pay your closing costs. And we can close your refi in as fast as 20 days with no upfront deposit. With our low interest rates and no closing costs if you qualify, there's never been a better time to lock in a low rate before it's gone. For a free quote, go to cashcallmortgage.com or call 800-609-1378. That's 800-609-1378. 800-609-1378.
Hundreds of cruise ship passengers long stranded at sea by virus fears have finally disembarked and were welcomed to Cambodia by the nation's leader, who handed them flowers. Prime Minister Hun Sen agreed to let the Westerdam dock after Thailand, Japan, Taiwan, the Philippines, and Guam barred the ship over fears that it might spread a virus. 74-year-old passenger Joe Spaziani says the crew of the cruise ship Westerdam performed admirably under difficult conditions.
They did a great job up there. They did a great job. Your country did a great job. Did a wonderful job. Thank you very much. We appreciate it very much.
While passenger Anna Marie Mellon says she's grateful to the Cambodian Prime Minister for allowing the cruise ship Westerdam to dock.
How wonderful it is to be here, and thank you very much for the time. They have a wonderful heart.
News and analysis at townhall.com. Wayfair's latest business decision, not what their employees need.
The online furniture seller is cutting about 550 jobs, or about 3% of its total workforce of 17,000, most of those at its Boston headquarters and a European office in Berlin. Wayfair says it continually evaluates the needs of the business, and it's still hiring for other roles. Wayfair also runs other online stores under different names, including Paragold, All Modern, and Birch Lane. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
The National Museum of the Marine Corps marking the 75th anniversary. The Battle of Iwo Jima, the museum hosting a series of events the weekend of February 22nd. Medal of Honor recipient Herschel Woody Williams will share his memories of Iwo Jima. The next day will feature an Iwo Jima-themed family day and a concert by the Marine Band. The 1945 Battle of Iwo Jima, best known for the photo showing six Marines raising the U.S. flag over Mount Suribachi. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
To come into a place with this many people and not know the people and be comfortable immediately, that says so much to me. Everybody's so happy. Everybody's talking to everybody. I felt apart the minute I moved in. The music that's brought in, what a wonderful thing to do for people, that we can go down and sit and relax and be entertained. I absolutely cannot imagine a thing that could be done around here that would improve it in any way.
Call today for a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
So what's Scorecard Scribbling all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give them to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Impersonation. And he was right.
I'm right, Brent.
Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Had to stop and listen to a little ZZ Top. The Bearded Trio. They were fun. A fun band. Probably still are. Somewheres. Happy Valentine's Day. Is it Valentine's Day again? Yes, it is. It's Valentine's Day. Oh, look, somebody's wearing red. Isn't that nice? I didn't even think of that because, you know, I'm not a very thoughtful person. That's not true. I'm a very thoughtful person most of the time, you know, but I'm a guy. So every now and then I trip over a log and fall down and that stuff happens. But happy Valentine's Day to all of you lovebirds out there. And may it be a blessed Valentine's Day. St. Valentine's. It's the anniversary of that massacre in Chicago. Remember that? But that's not important today, is it? As I think I told that story once before, my grandmother and my grandfather lived in Chicago at the time of the St. Valentine's Day massacre. And my grandfather was, interestingly enough, a radio broadcaster. That's what he was. My grandmother, Eleanor Gilmore Barnes, was driving her automobile, very modern, very advanced, driving her automobile, and she drove by some kind of a commotion. I think they might have called it a commotion at the time. And on the street, and there were police cars and ambulances, and she saw what appeared to be dead men on stretchers being pulled out of this building, a garage. And it turned out, and the police, police officer forced her to pull over to the side on foot, pulled her over to the side of the road, and gave her a ticket. For the ticket said slowing. It was for slowing. It was, you know, a gaper's block, a impeding traffic, they would call it now. But she was driving slowly. I'm going like this with my steering wheel hands, driving real slowly in the old Ford model something or other. And she saw the bodies coming out of the garage there in the north side of Chicago. And it turned out it was the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, found out later on the radio, you know, from her husband, which is interesting all by itself. Kind of fun. Isn't that crazy? And you know, I think I told this story once, maybe once, a long time ago. There's this, I didn't even discover this until a couple of few years ago, courtesy of Al Gore's amazing internet, peace be upon him. I found a photograph of my grandfather, Patrick Henry Barnes, on Al Gore's amazing internet. At the time, he was a radio host at in Chicago, Illinois, on WGN Radio, WGN. And it was 1928, I believe, the photograph. And the Chicago police had, they had cars, they had Ford automobiles. And in the Ford automobiles, they had AM radios in the dashboard, AM radios in the dashboard. But they didn't have two-way radios for the police, right? No two-way radios, so you can't, you know, car 54, where are you? None of that. One Adam 12, we didn't have any of that stuff because they didn't have two-way radios. So the Chicago police went to WGN Radio and said, hey, let's work something out here. So they worked something out. And here's the deal. Here's what they did, what they worked out. When someone called the police and said there was a robbery on Michigan Avenue at a bank. There's a bank robbery on Michigan, whatever the crime may be. They call the police and say, there's a robbery on Michigan Avenue. And the police, whoever took the call, where they took the call, would pick up a hotline that would go right into the studio at WGN where the person was on the air. And it would, flashing lights and stuff, it would alert them that the police were on the horn. And whoever was in the studio at the time would pick up the hotline, like Commissioner Gordon is calling, you know, and it's the police. And they would take a hammer and bang a big metal bell like you find in a boxing ring. Bang the bell. This was to get the attention of the police out there in their cars because they're supposed to have their radios set to, WGN to wait for emergency calls. And then whoever was in the studio would say, after banging this big bell, say, attention, attention all police. And they'd say there's a robbery and give the address on Michigan Avenue. And that was what they did before there were two-way radios in police cars. It's a clever system the Chicago police came up with in the 1920s with WGN working in concert with WGN to get past the no two-way radio thing. And kind of a clever thing. But then they learned there was a problem. See, and with everything there's a problem, right? Here's the problem. You announce there's a bank robbery on Michigan Avenue on the, you know, 2600 block. And everybody else was listening to WGN Radio, too. So all the people came running out of the buildings to go see the bank robbery and the police responding to the bank robbery. And suddenly the streets are filled with people blocking the police trying to get to the scene of the crime. So it's a little bit of a thing. That's true. That's a true story. That's all true. How about that? That's kind of fun, huh? Crazy. And that's Valentine's Day. That's, well, part of it. The first part of it had to do with Valentine's Day. Now, that said, happy Valentine's Day. Hope you have, you know, a plan because all the restaurants are going to be full tonight and you haven't already made a plan. You're probably getting some carry out from Popeyes or something and you know, a 12-pack of beer. That's probably not going to win it over real big. But I should say, just mentioned, didn't even occur to me till I came in here this morning. Having a nice conversation with people. And this is, you know, my best girl and I, we were married in August. And this is our first Valentine's Day together as a married couple. And our 26th Valentine's Day. So it's our 26th Valentine's Day, our first as a married couple. So, you know, so we'll probably stay home. Just kidding. We might, though. We might make stuff. My best girl's a spectacular chef. And sometimes the best thing to do for a special meal is actually to stay home. You know what I mean? See? That's what you're to stay at home and you're cooking a special meal. Is that right? Is that right? Victoria's staying home, and she's wearing her Valentine's red. And Giles is cooking for her. Is that right? Giles is cooking for Victoria. See? What's your excuse?
Heart-shaped pizza from Papa John's.
Get two, though, because, you know, get one of those Hawaiian things with the pineapples and stuff. They have heart-shaped pizzas today, don't they? Today only? Heart-shaped pizzas? That's a pretty good plug for them you just put in. You should get a free pizza for that, I think. Because that's a pretty good play. Okay, now it is Friday. It's Friday, and we were all discussing. We have a little bit of a morning meeting. Usually, everybody's really too busy in the morning meeting to have a meeting, but we're together in a room, and it's the morning, so we call it the morning meeting. And we kind of all agreed that everybody's just exhausted with all this this crazy political stuff, and maybe we should do jokes or something for the 3 hours that we have this morning. But of course, there are many things to get to, so we'll just take what we have and mock the things that we have. How about that? That's probably the best solution. It's kind of a hybrid solution. It's a little bit of hybrid. And it is, you see the Democrats, they put out a poem to commemorate, Valentine's Day. It says everything you need to know about the Democrats, because it's a romantic holiday. It's got a little bit of a Hallmark holiday, but it's a romantic holiday if you choose to see it that way. So they put out a poem, the Democratic Party did, and it is, roses are red, violets are blue, the planet is dying and so are you. Now, I know it's not very romantic, is it? It's not really even happy. It's miserable. It's the death cult thing. It's the planet is dying and so are you. That's not very, why would you say that? That's not a nice thing to say at all. But that's where the Democrats' minds are. You know how they are. They're not normal people. They're, they're having problems. They're having a lot of trouble, being normal. And they prove it every day, don't they? For example, now they're calling for the impeachment of the Attorney General because, it was Thursday, so they just go. And we were talking about this in our morning meeting, too. If you're a Democrat, are you really still buying into all this stuff? I mean, honestly, your wagon is still hitched to this gang of fanatics and lunatics, this communist. You know, Bernie Sanders is a communist, right? He's communist. I mean, he honeymooned in the Soviet Union, started talking about this yesterday. Oh, no, socialism, you ask his 20-year-old bearded, smelly followers. And no, it's like Sweden and Norway. I said, he didn't honeymoon in Sweden and Norway. He honeymooned in Moscow in the Soviet Union. He's really not a Sweden and Norway kind of socialist. He's a Bolshevik, and you should pay attention to that. That should be important to you. And if you missed the 20th century, somebody wrote a bunch of it down. It's in books and things. You can learn and learn, and then you'll know things, and then you'll join me over here in reality land. And it's a lot more fun over here, too, because, you know, we don't write poems like roses are red, violets are blue, the planet is dying, and so are you. We don't teach teenagers that their life is miserable, the planet is dying, there's no point in going on, that there's no future for them, the planet is going to die in 10 years. That's you guys, all right? That's not us. But I wonder what, you know, Democrats, I guess a romantic evening at home involves probably a heart-shaped Papa John's pizza, then both get in a tub together and open a vein like Frankie Five Angels or something. That's red, you know, and you can make little drawings with. It's they become so horribly miserable. And the Democrats on Capitol Hill, if they are the rudder steering your ship, then you are on the psychic rocky shoal of life. Because they impart to you only misery. But if you're a right-thinking American who recognizes that these are the good old days, and they are, except for the left being fanatical and these crazy lefties and the, you know, Antifa. We had an Antifa attack. I got a story in the news today that more attacks on police in New York. This is the left. This is today's Democrat Party. It is. I've been reading the items over the course of this week. About, and it started with that Washington Post magazine piece last weekend, and on how young people are just miserable because of the climate, and they see no reason to go on, and this is what they teach them. This is I was like the happiest 20-year-old. I'm still happier than these miserable people. And I've been, you know, kind of happy all my life, with a couple of notable exceptions, perhaps, but I had cause. And And these people, they're just raising a generation of wretched, unhappy, fatalistic, miserable. I was reading the story yesterday, the Democrat woman who went to the Trump rally in New Hampshire and was stunned, shocked. Her friends are telling her to bring pepper spray and don't go, and the 10 muscle-bound men will be there, and they're going to be mean to you and all this crazy stuff. And she went and had the time of her life and was talking about how everybody was so happy and dancing and enjoying each other, and she told everybody waiting in line, I'm a Democrat, and they're all yelling, yay, welcome, she's a Democrat. And she's like, this isn't what I was told. This is not what MSNBC told me. And MSNBC told everything. It was a kind of a fun article. We posted it yesterday, so you can share it with your friends, your liberal family members, and stuff. It's not really a provocative story because it's written by a leftist who, started to see the light. Just a little crack of daylight was showing through the miserable wall of death that they've built for themselves. But I digress. So happy Valentine's Day. But it's going to be different if you're a Democrat because you're not allowed to be happy. Your party doesn't allow you to be happy. Now you're supposed to be furious and angry about William Barr, who's the attorney general, who did an interview with ABC Pierre Thomas last night. He's one of the few reporters that I cite when I cite television reporters that I have respect for. And it was about a 25-minute interview. There are a couple of key elements that have been making a lot of news. And the Washington Post, of course, goes on. They go out of their way to misrepresent everything. And I have several examples of that today. I mean, they take what you've said is one of my favorite sayings because it's true. They take what you say, they change it until it's no longer what you've said, and then they attack you for what you didn't say. And they're doing a lot of that. And this creepy editing that people at NBC News and the Washington Post do, they take a fragment of what you've said, a fraction of what you've said, and they misrepresent it and leave out key words and all of that good stuff. And there are a number of examples of that today. Because there are a lot of very, very dishonest people in the city of Washington and in the city of New York and the city of Los Angeles and a few other places, too. But anyway, those are the highest concentrations, I think, of really dishonest people. They're just so, just leave out a word here and there and it changes the meaning of everything. And they know this, I assume. I'll give them credit for not being that unintelligent, that unserious, which leaves me with no option but to conclude that they're profoundly dishonest and corrupt people who have made their way to journalism as a vocation. And it's a perfect fit, you know, hand meet glove. And it's not that OJ thing at all. It slides right in like that glove should have if OJ hadn't been playing games. But that's another story for another day.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Are you one of the millions of Americans using a CPAP machine? If so, did you know that nasty bacteria love the moist environment of a CPAP? Meaning you can get very, very sick if you don't clean the entire machine completely. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. It's called PurePap. Hey, it's Chris Plant with just the push of a button. PurePap kills 99.9% of harmful bacteria, keeping your CPAP crystal clean and perfectly safe. PurePap cleans your CPAP completely with no soapy water, cleaning solutions, or mess. PurePap completely cleans your unit in just 35 minutes. That's more than twice as fast as other brands. PurePap works with most CPAP models, is super lightweight and easy to take on the road. Sleep healthy with PurePap. Take advantage of PurePap's risk-free 30-day in-home trial. Save $50 off your order, plus get free shipping by calling 800-353-8800. That's 800-353-8800. Sleep healthy by calling 800-353-8800.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
I have to go to the gym.
and untangle my headphones while warming up on the treadmill. And I'll finally untangle them 4 miles later, at which point I'm going to be real tired! Oh, yeah!
Motorcycles make everything exciting. And when GEICO makes it easy to switch and save on motorcycle insurance, it's even more exciting.
And once I put my headphones in, I realize my phone's dead! Then I get to run in silence!
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Let's talk credit card debt for a minute. If you feel you're carrying too much of it, you're not alone. The average household in the U.S. carries over $8,000 in credit card debt. Ready for some good news? With a cash-out refinance from Quicken Loans, you can quickly and easily put some of the equity in your home to good use by paying off a lot of that high-interest credit card debt. A great way to take cash out is with our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%. APR 4.23%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN to learn how taking cash out with a 30-year fixed mortgage might be the right solution for you. And for a record 10 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rates subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are a few of the things many of us take for granted. Yet, for many United States military veterans, finding and affording oral health care is a challenge many of us don't think about. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to see one veteran with special needs one time per year. Visit willyouseeonevet.org to learn more. That's willyouseeonevet.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Antarctica set a record temperature yesterday, record high temperature, as you might imagine, you know, because of global warming. And the people of Antarctica couldn't be happier. Not really. There aren't really people from Antarctica. There are only people that visit Antarctica. Something I intend to do one of these days pretty soon myself. And it would be nice if it were a warm, sunny day. I think.
How dare you!
I'd like it if it were a little warmer. I was in a shoe store last weekend. I didn't talk about this on the radio. In a shoe store last weekend, I was looking at shoes, as you might imagine, because it's. And there was a nice lady. She was there was a man and there was a lady, and they were selling shoes. They worked there, I believe. And the lady, I said hello to the lady, and I said, I'd like to try these on, please. And she kind of shook her head, and she said, pretty much out of the blue, I'm really concerned about that. It's the fact that it's 65 degrees in Antarctica today.
And I was like, yeah, these in black. These in black. Thanks for your concern. I know I'm in a constant panic about the weather, too. I'm like a cartoon character myself. Every day is just another day to fear the weather. It's the kind of person I am. Can't help it. It is a record, and according to what they say, this 70 degrees. Now, here's the funny thing. I read about this record temperature the other day, last week, 65 degrees, and they're going to take 6 months to verify it. I'm serious. They got to turn it over to like government commissions that get taxpayer money, and they're going to spend half a year looking at the data. I was like, you have a thermometer? So I got one of those on my balcony, and I look at it, and then if I want to reconfirm, I look at it again, and then there it is, and I'm done. It's pretty
this
good.
This is all wrong.
Yeah, this is all wrong. Yeah, I'm concerned. Also, there's a story in the Washington Post. It was in yesterday's Washington Post. It may be in today's hard copy. It appeared yesterday on Al Gore's Amazing Internet. Rats will devour your car. Rat, that's the headline. Rats will devour your car. Washington Post Karen Brouillard typed it up on behalf of some cult, I think. And you'll never guess why rats will devour your car. I'm going to give you a clue. Well, I already have, haven't I? That's right. It's global warming. Rats are going to devour your car because of global warming.
How dare you?
This is the Chris Plant Show.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account.
Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
This is the story of Julie Guillot. She's a Leukemia and Lymphoma Society advocate and the mother of a child who battled blood cancer.
Zach was diagnosed with AML, a deadly leukemia, when he was only 5. While the treatment really attacked the cancer, unfortunately it also attacked his body. Uncontrollable fevers, terrible nosebleeds, and his skin was burned from the inside out. He died at just 9 years old, really from the treatment that was meant to save him.
The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society was founded 70 years ago by parents who also lost their child to cancer. Today, we're pioneering breakthrough treatments for kids with cancer.
We are so close to finding better treatments for kids with cancer. So it's too late to save Zach, but working together, we can save thousands of kids just like him.
Visit lls.org and save a child's life.
He likes whiskey and he likes tea. Yes, the Washington Post is all out of sorts this morning. Temperature in Antarctica soars to near 70 degrees, appearing to topple continental record set days earlier. Days earlier? Well, you know, the days earlier record doesn't impress me, I've got to say. And the record is still below 70 degrees at 69 degrees. A weather station in Antarctica recorded a temperature of 69.3 degrees. The news media will round it up to 70 degrees. That's Fahrenheit, of course. On February 9th, just days after the world's coldest continent hit a record-breaking 65 degrees Fahrenheit, the Washington Post reports. Now, if you can't believe them, who can you believe? And that goes to the shoe store lady. She probably reads the Post on her phone, something like that. And they're very upset because the United Nations World Meteorological Organization, they like to call it the WMO, has yet to confirm that this is the hottest recorded temperature. Well, if you can't trust the United Nations, who can you trust? It's nonetheless an important finding that confirms a heat wave hit the most northern part of Antarctica, the Washington Post says. The high temperature was recorded at Seymour Island in the Antarctic Peninsula. Write your own jokes. The WMO is working on reviewing the reading to see if it qualifies as the hottest temperature. See, in a void, this means nothing to me because statistics require a trend line. And if you say that on Tuesday it was hot and today it was hotter, that doesn't tell me anything. You know, that's terribly unscientific and unjournalistic, and exactly what I'd expect from the Washington Post and Axios. I'm reading from both right here. But if you don't know what the previous temperatures, high temperatures were, and also for how long have we been keeping weather records on the Antarctic Peninsula, and in particular at this location, which matters a great deal. It is the northernmost part of the Antarctic Peninsula, and even then an island off of And so what are the, what's the historical record there? Do we have 2 centuries, 1 century, which is still a blip? Or do we just have like Tuesday and then Thursday? Because that's what the Post has. And if you're a liberal, you're probably in a panic about that because you don't understand trend lines and statistics. And you need a history here before you can become hysterical, the old Chicken Little thing. However, the great story, another great story in the corrupt Washington Post. Rats Will Devour Your Car by Karen Brouillard. Karen Brouillard writing the story. And she's very flowery in her writing. If you print the story out, it's 10 pages long. She's got a lot to say about rats eating your car. And it's just a great headline. It's worthy of posting on the wall, I think. Rats Will Devour Your Car. My car is made mostly of metal, I can tell you. But she goes on and on, and then she says, no one tracks rat damage to cars. Well, maybe you should start. It's a new field, an emerging vocation. But there are signs. It is a growing problem amid a nationwide rat population boom. That might explain the Democrats. That experts say may be fueled, stand by a warming climate. You see, your car is going to be eaten by rats because of global warming. There it is. It's right here in the Washington Post. They have fact checkers and everything, so that's got to be true, so you can believe it. Rats are the major perpetrators in cities such as the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., it's where I live, which President Trump calls a swamp. I don't know what Trump has to do with your rat problem here, but which often seems more like a vast rat burrow. Right, I watched the impeachment proceedings, too. It's a lot of truth to that one. A rat died under the hood of Morgan Finkelstein's car, and others destroyed her boyfriend's vehicle. The boyfriend, who declined to be interviewed because he works in politics and did not want his Google search results to be about rats. And that's pretty thoughtful of him. He's very looking out for himself there. Chances are very, very good. He's a Democrat, and, Democrats, you got rats right on the end there, so there's really no getting away from it. Already knew his Ford Focus had rat damage when he parked it behind their apartment for months during an out-of-state election in 2018. Blame is often cast. Now, this is great. Listen to this. Because this is, here it is. Blame is often cast on the soy-based wiring insulation that many auto manufacturers now use, which is considered ecologically sounder, I love that movie, it was very sad, wasn't it, than the petroleum-derived insulation it replaced. Lawsuits have argued that it's also tastier to rodents. All right, now, I just got to pause there for a sec, because lefties said, well, you can't make cars because they have rubber and it's petroleum-based, and you're killing my mother, you're killing the planet. And so auto manufacturers, under pressure from lefties, found new ways to move air from one part of your engine to the other and coat the wires, and they created, and this is genius, soy-based linings and insulation for rubber hoses and metal wires and cables and so on, at the request of lefties, all right? Because lefties were demanding that they stop using rubber. So they stopped using rubber, they found a workaround, and now rats have decided that it's tasty, and because of liberals, rats are eating your cables and your hoses under the hood of your car. It is one step. It's really not a big leap here. It's why do you have soy-based hoses and rubber insulators? The answer is Democrats. It's liberals. That's the correct answer. So if rats are eating your car, it's, as the Washington Post says, it's because of Democrats and liberals. Andre, a campaign staffer, it really is this Washington or what? Andre, a campaign staffer who spoke on the condition that only his first name be used because his employer did not want him to speak publicly about this topic, rats, believes he ran into a rat that was in the process of multiplying inside his Honda Civic Hybrid. Say that he's another Democrat here. His car wouldn't start, so he popped the hood. And he said, And there on my engine block is, I mean, the largest rat I've ever seen in my life. It's big. It looks pregnant. It makes me kind of, it makes kind of a rat hiss noise, he said. And I stood up and go, it's, sounded just like Pelosi. The maybe pregnant rat story is one of Andre's icebreakers at parties. Definitely a Democrat, because he says he's just glad he found no rat babies. Why? You could harvest their organs. That's you could pound them flat with a mallet, like the pediatrician Governor Coonman over there in Virginia. He says that would have been both more disgusting and much sadder if there had been babies. He's very concerned about rat babies, and then he sends a check to Planned Parenthood because he's a Democrat, you know. And really, he's like, oh, rat babies, aren't they cute? It's women's health. Well, you know, that's what's going on. Look, he says, we're the ones who built this city in this stupid place and then filled it with food garbage. The rat didn't choose for me to park there. This naturally reminded us of the lunatic in Washington, D.C. We have so many deer in Washington, D.C. that they crash through the windows at 7-Elevens and stand in front of your cars. They're all over on Massachusetts. On Embassy Row, there are deer all over the place. They're like pigeons around here. And so they send people out once a year in Washington, D.C. into Rock Creek Park with rifles to shoot and kill the deer. Because, you know. And liberals are very upset about that. And then they send a check to Planned Parenthood to tithe to feel better. And one lunatic was out there, and he reminds me of this guy. I guarantee he's a Democrat. He's got it all over him. And he uses this rat story as an icebreaker at parties. I'm sure you get high-quality dates that way. And he says he's glad he found no rat babies because it would have been much sadder. And this brought to mind, of course, this lunatic leftist in Washington upset about the culling of the deer herd.
It's wrong for anyone to kill deer. The reasons they're using for the deer hunt are completely falsified and wrong. The deer are not overpopulated. It only seems that way to them because we've taken their land.
Right, we've stolen the land of the deer. That's not true. The Indians stole the land from the deer after they came over on the land bridge from Asia, and then we stole it from the Indians. And then, illegal aliens stole it from us, and it's the sweep of history thing. It's too big conceptually for a lot of people. But there is, it would have been more disgusting and much sadder. Because, you know, then you'd have to start your car and watch all the little babies get caught in the fan belts and thrown around your dashboard and stuff. Thump, 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 thump. That reminds me of another story. I'm not sure if I should tell it. I should tell it. You think I should tell it? My long ago, when I was in my 20s and living in Santa Barbara, California, I was with a young woman. And we were involved at the time. We went out to test drive a used car. Right? It was a Volvo, I remember. They're boxy and they're Swedish, you know, socialism. So we went and we were test driving this, and the young lady I was with was driving the car. And we were on, I think it was Cathedral Oaks was the name of the road in Santa Barbara, Goleta. And we were coming around a curve. It was about twilight. And as we came around the curve, lo and behold, just around the curve, no time to react. A whole family of skunks. Mama skunk, daddy skunk, and four or five little baby skunks. And the sound was, it was kind of like this. It was a little like that. And it was very sad. And it was really heartbreaking. So we sent a check to Planned Parenthood. We didn't really. Brought it back to the nice people and said, there was a thing with, there were skunks and I'm not sure. I'm sorry you're planning it. Might want to get a hose because there's a lot of, Pepe Le Pew. I don't know if you've seen that cartoon. So he's really upset. But here's this guy. He says, look, we're the ones that built this city in this stupid place. The city is in a stupid place. What's a smart place for the city? Because there was a river there. That's why there was a Potomac and boats would come. It was before airplanes. I don't know if they know this. And trucks and things like that. But we had boats. We built the city in this stupid place, then filled it with food garbage. Then we filled it with food garbage. Is that what we did? The rats didn't choose for me to park there. So they actually defer to rats. Right? This is what the Democrats have done to themselves. They literally defer to the rat population because that's how low an opinion they have of themselves and of humanity, of their own species, because that's what the left has taught them. Am I right about that? Yes, I am. You bet your bottom dollar I'm right about that. You know it. Speaking of libs, and there's a lot of, and I'm going to get to William Barr and President Trump. I think it's actually kind of a fun story, the William Barr and the, all's well that ends well, I think, is the cap on that story. But there's there was a tweet spotted yesterday. I have one brother that lives in California, another brother that's sort of leaving California now. I lived in California for 7 years. There was a fun tweet yesterday by Ryan Fournier. Ryan Fournier, spelled like Ron Fournier, another journalist, but I'm not sure they're related. I doubt it. But Ryan Fournier, on his Twitter account, summed up California thusly, and I think quite well. California, colon. That's it. That's the whole sentence. No, it's not. It goes on. California, colon. They love their colons. And he sums up California quite nicely. Ban straws while handing out needles. Label the NRA as terrorists while allowing Antifa to riot in the streets. Leave veterans homeless while giving free health care, housing, and college to illegals. This is the Democrats' America. And that's 100% right. Very well done, Ryan Fournier, summing it up very well. Ban straws while handing out needles, syringes. Label the NRA, protecting the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment. It's, you know, number one is one for a reason, and two is two for a reason, too. Label the NRA as terrorists while allowing Antifa, actual terrorists, to riot on the streets. Speaking of which, I have another Antifa story today. More violence by Antifa attacking. And this is a teenager attacked by these crazy people, these lunatics, and they're whack jobs, whack doodle doo, as they say. Man arrested for attacking 15-year-old Trump supporter in New Hampshire, police say. And if you look at a picture of this guy, he should have been involuntarily institutionalized a long time ago. He's a white guy with hair. Looks like he looks like the Unabomber. He was being held in a well by a serial killer for years. A 34-year-old man was arrested in New Hampshire on Thursday. That's yesterday. After he attacked a 15-year-old Trump supporter who was wearing a Make America Great Again hat and two other adults at the polling site earlier this week. He attacked a 15-year-old boy and two adults because the kid was wearing a MAGA hat, 15-year-old kid. Fox News reported that Wyndham Police Department arrested Patrick Bradley, the proud Bradley family, and charged him with simple assault and disorderly conduct. I assume that you're going to recommend 7 to 9 years. I can only imagine. Police said the incident happened Tuesday as Bradley exited the voting location inside the high school and was walking by a Trump campaign tent occupied by several supporters. Fox News reported as he passed the tent, police said Bradley slapped a 15-year-old juvenile across the face and then assaulted two adults who attempted to intercede. That's perfectly normal stuff. This is not, you know, at least he didn't crash his car into and try to run them over and kill them all like the Democrat in Florida did the other day. But this is fine because CNN doesn't think it's news. The Washington Post won't report it. Bradley was also accused of throwing Trump signs and trying to destroy the tent. The boy's mother, Kathy Campbell, said, "My son was standing outside on a sidewalk and he said, 'Have a nice night,' which is what he said to everyone. But the man was triggered and he said, 'Hey, beep you,' and wound up his hand as fast and slapped him across the face." You know, that's just another Democrat expressing himself. And this is what the party and the media encourage.
Have a good one.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
The
The brutal cold and flu season is upon us, and the number one flu symptom is fever. So use a thermometer that's proven accurate by more than 80 clinical studies. The Exergen Thermometer. See our educational video at Exergen.com.
Today on Hey Culligan, smoother skin for the win, we've got Claire in Delaware.
Hey Culligan, the water in my shower makes my skin feel like I'm 90.
Okay, first off, Claire, are you 90?
No.
Okay, second, how do you feel about high-efficiency water softeners from Culligan? Actually, Claire, how do you feel about smoother skin and luxurious hair?
Oh my gosh, love it, have to have it.
OMG indeed, Claire, we're already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with a local Culligan water expert at HeyCulligan.com.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
and Doug. Welcome to Burger Palace. What would you like today?
Yes, I'd like to tell you that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
This is Burger Palace. Do you want any food?
Yes, one palace party meal.
No, Limu, they won't put insects on a burger.
No, you can't talk to the manager.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Is your family ready for cold and flu season? Knowing when it's the flu lets you know when to call your doctor. The flu brings a fever, so be prepared with a thermometer you can trust. The Exergen Temporal Scanner. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Hello, I'm Jose Hernandez, and I have been using a wheelchair since my accident in 1995.
My name is Andrea Delgado, and I've been using a wheelchair since I was 5 years old.
I guess if I had one message for the general public, it would be that I appreciate your help. But please, ask first.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that I've actually got everything under control.
I think people get nervous. They don't know how to act, so they pretend I'm not there.
What probably bothers me the most is when waiters talk to my companion and not directly to me.
I think everyone with a disability can relate to that parking spot problem.
We know you're just parking in a disabled spot for a second, but please, don't. We're just looking for the same respect and consideration as everyone else.
United Spinal Association is dedicated to enhancing the quality of life of people living with spinal cord injuries and disorders. Download our disability etiquette booklet at unitedspinal.org.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
I'm really concerned about the temperature in Antarctica today. I can't sleep because it could be 0.3 degrees Fahrenheit, 0.1 degree Fahrenheit difference, and still they're going to lose sleep over it. All right, let's go to the phones. I'm just not. National Geographic informs me that the planet has been entirely without ice for approximately 90% of the history of the Earth. Therefore, I'm really not going to cry as I go to sleep. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Matt. Calling from Washington, D.C., Matt, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Chris, always good to hear your voice. You know, we were in vacation in San Diego. We're walking on the beach. We see a good-looking guy, you know, doing a TV remote. It's your brother, and he's got the most relaxed life in all of broadcasting. But my wife actually said that you're the better-looking one. But with regard to global warming, does that mean we'll be wearing T-shirts in January? Because I'm down for that.
We've had the greatest winter here in D.C. this year, haven't we?
Oh, it's lovely. I can see why more people come here in February. But I want to pay homage to the little-known part that WMAL played in speeding up the end of the Cold War. You see, I was a lifeguard at a pool right behind the Russian embassy. And at noon every day, a group of lifeguards and I would make sure that the Russians heard over the PA loudspeaker the Rush Limbaugh show. And that was in the summer of 1989. It played an important role, I think, in ending the Cold War.
Is that right?
I love your show. WMAL is the best, and keep up the good work.
Did Corn Pop ever come to your pool?
No, but I do have blonde hair on my legs that does rise up from the water. It's quite creepy, though.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have anybody touch it.
Oh, Lunch Bucket Joe, I'm telling you, he's just toast, isn't he? The guy is just go home. Did you see...
Speaking of Lunch Bucket Joe, I saw him at the Kinko's off Wisconsin Avenue faxing out his resume the other day.
He thinks that's the best way to do it.
And I love kids.
Love you, Chris.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks. I'm going to have to call my brother Daniel after the show today, give him the bad news. Now, Dan, this is my brother Dan the Anchorman. I've talked about him. He got famous a year ago or so doing a great story about the border, the San Diego border, nationwide. President Trump retweeted my brother Daniel's story about the border.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.